from the high desert and the great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening, good morning, as the case may be, across all these many time zones stretching from way out in the exotic Tahitian and Hawaiian island chains, eastward to the Caribbean, south toward South America, north to the pole, worldwide on the internet. This is Coast to Coast AM, and I am Art Bell. Good morning, everybody. Great to be here. I would like to welcome to the network WFIW in Fairfield, Illinois. Great to have you along. 1390 on the dial there. And I believe it's KCRC in Enid, Oklahoma. KCRC in Enid, Oklahoma. Welcome. Also 1390 on the dial. Now, there's a coincidence. Both of you, welcome to the network. Glad to have you along. You will find this program to be different, for the most part. And it's going to be a rather unusual, different sort of show this morning, too. I had the distinct pleasure last night at the end of the program, something most of you would have missed, to interview Steve Forbes. That was a 30-minute interview, and I'm going to repeat that at the bottom of the hour. So, what's going on tonight? Well, let's see. 16 months after O.J. Simpson was cleared of murder charges, a civil trial jury unanimously blamed him Tuesday for the brutal killings of his ex-wife and friend. The panel ordered the former football star to pay $8.5 million, in compensatory damages. Simpson could be slapped with yet millions more in punitive damages in the next phase of the trial, set to begin on Thursday. Cheers erupted in the courtroom to consternation of the judge. Simpson left the courthouse to a chorus of boos and cheers, kind of a combination. Daniel Petroselli, the lead attorney for the victims' families, said he is grateful for the jury's verdict, called it vindication for Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman. Goldman's father, Fred Goldman, said the families finally have justice. Now, I don't know. Do they? Do they have justice? Is there justice in a monetary award where there may not be assets to be forfeited? Nobody knows how much money O.J. has, and one would imagine a lot of it resides offshore someplace or another. And if not, then you have to wonder how much money he's got to be tapped anyway. The punitive portion is probably going to be very heavy from a money point of view, probably more than the $8.5 million. It was a unanimous verdict. Judges in California are loath to turn over a very popular verdict, so I don't, you know, there's going to be an appeal, of course, but I doubt that appeal is going to be successful. But the good question is whether this now represents justice done. I'm not sure. I'm really not sure. Money where there is none to be turned over for two lives that are lost, I'm not sure that's justice. You tell me. At any rate, I'm going to pack a lot here in the first half hour commercially because I've got to clear the second half for you. I'm going to have my mom on the air probably about an hour and a half from now, something along those lines. A little reaction on the Simpson matter. Art, the criminal trial was a travesty. The judge, weak, unable to keep the trial focused on relevant issues. The lead defense attorney took control of the courtroom and, with sociopathic indifference, infected it and the country with a race issue that not only had nothing to do with any aspect of the case, but like a plague, ravaged the nation. If you couple the above with a jury trial that in the kindest terms was horrible, you had the inevitable tragic result, not guilty, by reason of jury nullification. Now at last, the case was tried fairly and appropriately. The jury actually deliberated, and in the face of overwhelming evidence, came to a unanimous decision, libel, guilty of a brutal double murder. But civilly, of course, not in a criminal sense. Or this, Art, slow news day, huh? compensatory damages to the Goldman family, $8.5 million. Punitive damages begin the war of the accountants. How much can O.J. afford? The jury determines the punitive damages to be awarded, notwithstanding the statute, they can't bankrupt Mr. Simpson. An appeal of a prejudiced jury to the appellate court requires O.J. to file bankruptcy or to collateralize 150% of the compensatory and punitive awards. Does O.J. have these kinds of assets? Bryn Marie in San Francisco. Well, Art, been following the Simpson mess for the whole 2.5 years, and this is by far the most twisted confluence of events that I've seen thus far. I've stopped saying it can't get any weirder. So I think the chief question, and I've thought about this, is whether there really now is justice. And I guess there is a mitigation of the injustice, but I certainly would not say there is justice. President Clinton had his State of the Union address mainly concentrating in areas of education, and called for a stable partnership with Russia, and I don't know how you have a stable partnership with an unstable nation, but he's called for that. A jury in Kernville, Texas has recommended Darlie Rotier die by lethal injection for the stabbing death of her 5-year-old. Pending charges also for killing her 6-year-old son. The boys, two, were stabbed to death with a butcher knife while they were asleep in their home near Dallas. A butcher knife. That's definitely in the quickening category. I have no idea how to digest news of that sort. A mother comes in and stabs to death her 2 infants with a butcher knife. That just doesn't seem possible. But I'm afraid today we know it is. High Art tonight around 18:30. For the non-military, that would be 6:30 Pacific. A large explosion or some type of sonic boom was heard up and down the Pacific coast, literally shook our building. Talking to various hams up and down the Puget Sound area within a radius of 150 miles, they all felt it. The scanner went crazy. I have no idea what it was. The news media do not have any answers, Como King Cairo. The FAA has no idea. And I'd be curious to know who else heard it. Jack Coles, who predicts earthquakes, says there has been one large main signal, specific character, low-frequency radio spikes, received by instruments today, February 4th, at 5:30 a.m. And based on that, Jack Coles says, we feel there is a 75% chance of a 6-plus magnitude earthquake anywhere along the west coast of California down to South America. Specific dates for the watch, February 6th through the 13th. It figures. I am going to be going on a sort of mini vacation after this night for a few days. And I'll be along the west coast and west coast of Mexico. So it figures. There is one absolutely irrefutable, unchallenged fact, and that is when I have gone on vacations in the past, be they short or long, something incredible always occurs. And I could take you back to Waco. And I could document events since then that have occurred on a regular basis every time I take as much as 2 days off. Now, I trust this morning that Los Angeles is quiet, and the reports I've got so far indicate it is so. There could be some concern, but I understand crowds that were there dispersed quietly. And it looks as though it may be okay. Hope so. Many of you have no idea that our Senate, yes, the U.S. Senate, has now, second time around, a bill to create a new money. Now, why do they want a new money? Well, they talk about a counterfeiting and that sort of thing. But there are going to be two forms. Why do they need that to defeat counterfeiting? One inside the U.S. and one outside the U.S. Got to change them as you come and go. A lot of people, I'm one of them, think this will be an eventual devaluation of the U.S. dollar. That's what they could do. I mean, they're going to, but they could. Now, I can't fathom any other reason for two forms of currency. Can you? A lot of people think this is bull, a bull bill. The bill is bull. It is not, and we would be glad to prove it to you by sending you a free copy of the bill. All you've got to do is ask. The number is 1-800-877-9799. 1-800-877-9799. And our very own Vice President, Al Gore, said, telecommunications is by all odds the most important lucrative marketplace of the 21st century. Oh, is he right? Now, I'm talking about Microtech, the company, and their product, SMR, Specialized Mobile Radio. It is a great investment opportunity, like cellular, but cheaper, greater distance, more commercial application, already in New York, LA, Houston, Boston, Detroit, across America, but listen, here comes the final site license to investors. Yes, yes, yes. There is a little bit of risk. That's why it's called an investment, not a guarantee. But they invite you to find out for yourself how a minimum $8,700 invested now could return to you $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 or more, plus a yearly income for the rest of your life. Write down this number, 1-800-444-1049. And we'll ask you a couple of investor qualification questions and send you all the information you need, a video, a prospectus, and you can sit there and make a decision about whether this is right for you. The number, 1-800-444-1049. All right, a few calls between now and the bottom of the hour. Anything you want to talk about, this will be my last night for, I don't know, three nights or so. And so anything you want to talk about, comment on the O.J. Simpson case. Oh, yes. Indeed, you're welcome to make that. Comment on the case in Texas, a head shaker, you're welcome to make that. Any comments on the president's State of the Union address, you're welcome to make those. In other words, anything at all. Oh, I did run into one very weird thing that I'm going to follow up when I get back from this little mini vacation. And I talked to the man earlier tonight up in Oregon who had contacted my publisher with a very weird story. And I can't tell you a whole lot of it right now, but apparently in Wilmington, California, the other day, there were UFO sightings, followed by, get this, a 1950s vintage automobile that fell out of the sky. Now, the story I got from the man I talked to earlier tonight was that they cordoned the whole area off, and nobody knows much about it. Now, if you're in Wilmington, I would love to hear from you. But I am going to line up somebody who knows something about this. Can you imagine that? Poof! The 1950s, it was not specified what kind of vehicle it was, fell right out of the sky. Now, what are the odds of that? East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, Mr. Bell. How are you? It's Paul from Philadelphia.
Hi, Paul.
Yeah, listen, I just wanted to make the comment. I'm a white person. I didn't think O.J. did it. I still don't think he did it. This doesn't change my opinion. Of course, I'll review the transcript of this trial. But everybody has to keep in mind that the evidence is different. And that's just my opinion. I just wanted to know people to know that.
Well, the burden of evidence is different. That's
correct.
Absolutely correct, yes.
And so I just wanted to make that comment to the country. And I heard the president's speech. I thought it was a pretty good speech for a president. And it's good to hear you. I hope you have a nice vacation.
All right, my friend. Thank you very much from Philly. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, this is Ed of San Diego, KFMD, checking in.
Hello, Ed.
How you doing?
All right.
Good. Well, I hope you're going to have a good vacation.
I hope so.
So, have you seen Mars Attacks yet?
Have I seen what?
Have you seen Mars Attacks yet?
I'm sorry, I'm not understanding what you're saying.
Have you seen the movie Mars Attacks?
Oh, Mars Attacks. No, not yet.
Well, I hope you get a chance to see it on your vacation.
Maybe I will.
Everything's going fine down here. We haven't had many problems with the verdict. In fact, most people down in San Diego are saying, thank God it's over, and I just want to go on with my life.
Well, I've been going on with mine anyway. How about you?
Yep, me too. Me too. But that's what our news reporters have gathered down here.
So right, that's what I'm gathering as well, and I'm glad to hear it. Thank you very much. So, Los Angeles apparently quiet. We'll get a better reading of that on that at midnight as we talk to L.A. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, this is Carl from Minneapolis.
Yes, sir. I'm fine.
Great. Good. I wish you a good vacation.
Thank you.
A quick comment on the O.J. Simpson case, and this is something I'm pretty sure you've never heard before because I have been listening this whole time for someone else to say it, but I've not heard it.
All right.
Do you remember when he was first arraigned? He had a lawyer, and you're going to have to help me with this. I can't remember the man's name. But he had a lawyer who was not later included in the case. In fact, he was dropped within a day or two after Simpson's arrest.
Well, there was one attorney retired, I think, that held a bag for O.J. Would that be who you're talking about?
No, I wish I could tell you his
name. Then there was another attorney.
Mm-hmm.
Who had a heart attack or heart problems and dropped out of the case. That was during the first few days of the trial.
No, this was the very first.
Sorry, I don't know who you're talking
about. Okay, I can't remember his name. I'm sure another listener will. But my comment is this. The day after he was arraigned, I saw this live on CNN. The man came out of the courthouse doors and was on the steps, and he was being interviewed, and he said that Simpson... They hadn't made up his mind yet, but Simpson would either plead not guilty or insanity.
Yes.
Now, why would a man who was innocent even be contemplating pleading insanity? That's a virtual guilty plea. I've never heard anyone else point this out.
Actually, it's not guilty by reason of insanity.
It's an admission of the fact that he did it.
Yes,
And I just thought that was strange, and I wanted to comment on that, and but maybe some of your other viewers comment on it, too.
Thank you. Yes, that's right. I have listeners. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Whoops, would have been. First time caller line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi, my name is Mike from Tacoma.
Hello, Mike.
Hi. My comment is about the president of our United States.
Yes, sir.
And in his address, I can't believe he said it, but... He wants all the 8-year-olds to be on the Internet?
Oh, yes.
If this guy is going to have 8-year-olds on the Internet, he better get his business together and get some of the stuff that's on there off.
Well,
it's far too easy to
But one presumes that, or would hope, that parents or teachers would guide the children with regard to where they go on the Internet. I mean, you know, parental control here, folks.
Right. Well, you know, we've been here at our school... and we've gone to them and talked to them, and they have said that there's no control over that stuff, and what they're going to do is they're going to trust the children, because the children have responsibility inbred in them,
Oh, please. All right, my friend, thank you very much.
Thank you.
When we come back, repeat of a late yesterday morning interview with Steve Forbes will be right back.
This is TRN and CBC, Talk Radio Network and Chancellor Broadcasting Company, home of Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Quick update. Art just heard on Como TV that the sonic boom was an SR-71 Blackbird coming into the Pacific Northwest and landing at Oak Harbor Naval Air Station. That from a listener quoting KOMO. Now, take a listen to this coming up. Fascinating interview. We'll be right back.
Art Bell is taking calls on the wildcard line at 702-727-1295. That's 702-727-1295. First-time callers can reach Art Bell at 702-727-1222. 702-727-1222. Now, here again, Art Bell.
And now comes Steve Forbes. He is editor-in-chief of Forbes, the nation's leading business magazine. He, of course, was a candidate for the Republican presidential nomination in 1996. He is now honorary chairman of Americans for Hope, Growth, and Opportunity. I've heard that somewhere before. A new national issues advocacy organization promoting issues like the flat tax, a new social security system for younger Americans, and medical savings and accounts, and we're going to get to all of that. Steve Forbes, welcome to the program.
Good morning. How are you?
I am very well, sir. It's an honor to have you here.
It's a great pleasure to be with you.
Thank you. I'm a moderately successful talk show host, and I have started to make a little bit of money. And this question will serve, I think, for many in the audience. I've watched the market over the last year, and it has been amazing, absolutely amazing. And I have a financial advisor. My financial advisor comes to my home and tries to convince me why I should put money into the market. Says, oh, look, no matter what happens in the long run, the market is going to make you money no matter what. And I say, but I think there's this big correction coming. I think it's oversold. And we argue back and forth. What do you think, Mr. Forbes?
Well, the market certainly has reached extraordinary heights in the last 2 years. There's never been anything like it in the last 50 years. And so your caution is understandable. Your advisor is right that if you are around for enough years, even if you get a correction, you're going to do fine. The problem with market timing is not just getting out of the market. The problem is when you get back in.
Yes.
So you might be cautious about going into it, keep some of your powder dry, but recognize that there are going to be roller coasters. I remember from the mid-60s through the late 70s, this market went nowhere.
That's right. What I'm afraid of is, though, I mean, if there's a better time to get in, it's after the correction, not just before it. That's the argument I keep making to her.
That's right. And, of course, the art of the action is, when is the correction and when is the correction over? One of the great traps is what they call a bear market trap. You know, the market takes a dip. You think, oh, that's it. You get in, and then it takes an even bigger dip. So I think the key is just put a little bit in each month, keep some of the powder dry, and then if it goes up, terrific. You never lose money with a profit.
Well, you sound just like my advisor. There is a big move in Washington now, a Republican move primarily for a balanced budget, constitutional amendment, actually, for a balanced budget. The president promises to fight this with every fiber of his being. And I wonder if you think it really does have a chance this time around, or is it just going to be another big fight?
I think it's going to be, at the end of the day, a frustrating fight. I don't think it's going to make it this time, but I do hope that the advocates of the balanced budget amendment put with it something that I think would help attract support, certainly from the American public, and that is couple it with something they proposed last year, and that is a tax limitation amendment.
that if you have this balanced budget amendment, you want to be sure that the Washington politicians don't use it as an excuse to raise your taxes.
Mm-hmm.
So have a provision in there that you need 3/5 or 2/3 of a vote of Congress to raise your taxes. That way, if they have the balanced budget amendment, they're going to look at the spending side rather than trying to take more money out of your pocket.
Where would the Social Security business come into play here? In other words, presently we're using those funds in effect to mask the size of the deficit.
You
right?
bet. Uh-huh. Well, this is where they have to be very careful on how they do what they call the enabling legislation, that is translating an amendment into real law. Because, as you know, Washington, the way it keeps its books is a way that no private corporation would be allowed to do. They take those Social Security monies, and if they have a surplus, which with the baby boomer generation, you have it for a few years, and they immediately go out and spend it and give the trust fund these IOUs with interest rates that are below market,
mm-hmm.
the subsidy of the debt. That's why the national debt always goes up more than the budget deficit by a factor of almost 2 to 1, because that money is borrowed. That is not real revenue. So they count it as revenues, and then they count it as borrowings. It's a wacky way to do it.
Do you give
very misleading way.
Do you give the president any credit for reducing the size of the yearly deficit?
No, I think a couple of things have happened. One is, in the early years of his presidency, you had the wind down of the SNL bailout. The sale of assets started to come in, so that helped. And then the Republicans capturing Congress in 94 changed the whole game. He stopped talking about big spending programs and started to pretend that he was a balanced budget man himself. And if you notice, Art, since 1994, that's when the huge rise in the market began.
Well, that is true. That's absolutely true.
And so you couple the, as a matter of fact, that Clinton had not increased taxes in 93, not to mention what the Republicans did in 1990, this economy would be much larger today and the deficit would be much smaller.
The president will give his State of the Union address tonight. I am told that one of the things he will propose is a $98 billion tax cut for American families. And the Republicans initially seem to say, hey, right on. But now they're sort of beginning to hedge a little bit on it. How do you react to such a proposal?
Well, you always have to read the fine print with this president, and there are a lot of small tax increases, apparently, that they're going to propose, tens of billions of dollars worth. And also, too, we do need a cut in the capital gains tax if we're to have this economy continue to grow and create new jobs.
All right, well, in that category, he is apparently going to propose up to a $500,000 one-time capital gains tax cut for the sale of a house.
That's typical of Washington. They take your money, and then they dole it out to you, some of it, in little dribs and drabs here and there. They play like giving you an allowance or Santa Claus. But remember, those so-called targeted tax cuts, so that is from your money. They take a dollar from you, give you back 50 cents and various credits, and you're supposed to be happy with that. So we do need a genuine tax cut. But they love telling you where you can spend your money, how much of it you can take out. Give it back to us. We'll handle it.
This president is a true expert at that, isn't he?
He really is. He is very good at small things. I wouldn't be surprised if tonight he proposed a law that bans doctor's offices from having old magazines. He's very good at that.
Yes, and everybody will stand up and clap. The Consumer Price Index. Now, there's talk of a bipartisan blue ribbon panel to get together and consider if the Consumer Price Index is wrong and if there needs to be an adjustment, something that over, a decade could produce $1 trillion for the government. Is this just some big ripoff, or is it genuine? Should there really be an adjustment to the CPI?
Well, you have many fine scholars and experts say that there are flaws in the way they calculate it now. But I think that on Social Security, we should keep our eye on the really big issue. Instead of going for a one-time fix, which we've done for the last 30 years, which always leads to higher taxes and fewer benefits, why not go for the real ultimate answer and that is keep the current system for those who are on it. You don't want to scare people who are on the system, or you'll never get real reform for younger people. But while we still have time, start a new system, phase in a new system for younger people, where part, the bulk of their payroll tax, instead of going to Washington, would go directly to their own special individual retirement account. They couldn't touch it till a certain age, but it would belong to them. They'd get quarterly or monthly statements. And that way, even if they just put it in bank savings accounts, they will be infinitely better off when they retire than they're going to be under the current Social Security system.
But we've got a very big, expensive government to run, and without that money for them to steal, borrow, they're going to have to be some mighty big adjustments back there.
No, as a matter of fact, if you look at the real financial situation in Washington, you look at the Social Security system, and they have a real unfunded liability of about $8 to $10 trillion. The debt is there. The obligation is there. Washington, for years, has pretended that it wasn't there. So you can make a transition, combining the current surpluses we're going to get from the baby boom generation, the surpluses they've run up in the last 8 or 10 years, turn those IOUs, phase them in into real assets that you can sell. And then if you need to borrow money, it's going to be infinitely less during this transition than that $8 or $10 trillion. And then you pay the bonds off when you have the new system. There are a number of proposals that have variations of that. It's eminently workable, but the real objection in Washington is they fear a loss of power. They want to control it.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Orbs, I've been watching the national debt, and I watch that clock like a hawk. And I know that in some number of years ahead, the interest on the national debt is going to literally consume every dime we might have otherwise spent for somebody's social program. When will that crunch point probably be? I know they can play games with smoke and mirrors and all the rest of it and avoid it for a while, but at some point it's going to catch up with us. How far away is that point?
Well, it's probably several years away. Right now, if we stopped increasing the national debt, we could cope with what we have today. But you're right, the trend is the real frightening thing.
Exactly.
And fortunately, I think we're now at last, despite this president, starting to do something about it. This Republican Congress that everyone criticized actually did some good on the spending side. New agricultural program, the welfare reform bill, it made a little bit of progress. So the turnaround has started. But what we genuinely need is real reform, first on the tax side. We have a horror system today. As you know, last Friday, the IRS announced that $4 billion they spent for modern computer system is now wasted, gone,
doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. And they say, well, we'll have to start over again. Why not start over again with the tax code? Junk it, make it simple. Compliance alone with a simple tax, a flat tax where you can fill it out on a postcard, would generate enormous new revenues.
Would it really work?
Oh, absolutely. In the real world, it does. When you lower the tax burden on people, people are able to do more, and the economy prospers, and the government ends up with more revenues. In Washington, what they fear is not a loss of revenue, despite what they say.
Loss of power.
What they really fear is the loss of power.
Sure. The ability to manipulate socially or whatever with the tax code.
As somebody said, tax credits and tax loopholes are to a politician what cocktails are to an alcoholic.
Is there any practical way to force them to do what they should do but probably won't?
I think ultimately it's going to have to be public opinion. If you change that tax code, make it simple. We have now 7.5 million words in the tax code, 10 times the size of the Bible. If you make those kind of changes and take their power away, you change the whole dynamic, and then we can start to make some real reforms.
All right. The 105th Congress is probably going to be fighting about the constitutional amendment and a lot of other things that, as you suggest, will probably end up being frustrating and going nowhere. What should the 105th Congress be doing now?
They should be doing several things. One is set the foundation for genuine tax reform. Try to get, as a beginning, a genuine cut in things like the capital gains tax. but make it clear that they're setting the foundation, that if the voters want, the foundation will be there to junk this complex, corrupting tax code and replace it with something that people can actually understand, including the tax collectors. Genuine Social Security reform, genuine Medicare reform, such as medical savings accounts, which
right.
if done right, would give people more control, better coverage at less cost. We've tried a variation of that at Forbes magazine for 5 years, and our costs per person are less today than they were 5 years ago. Not one of our people is on managed care. 3,000 other employers have tried it. The United Mine Workers have tried it. It works. Consumerism works. Give people control, and they will do a better job than the bureaucracies.
You just went through a presidential campaign in which, because of your fortunate situation, you were able to generally fund as you needed to, I guess. But the other two major parties, both are now under investigation, the Democrats perhaps to a greater degree, and the Republicans to a lesser degree, I think. Fred Thompson's getting all set up to investigate everything. The question is campaign finance, of course, and I'm sure you must have some views on this. We're going to go through literal hell politically this year on this subject. What would you do?
I think the key is to recognize that the so-called reforms they put in 20 years ago,
mm-hmm.
again, trying to micromanage everything, is one reason why we have the mess today. I believe that they should raise significantly the caps on individual contributions as long as there's prompt and full disclosure. If you make a major contribution to a candidate, it's public knowledge within 48 hours. There's no reason why that can't be done. And let the voters decide if the candidate has sold his soul to an individual or to a special interest group.
So you're on the side then of campaign donations really being a First Amendment issue, in other words, money for supporting a candidate who has a particular point of view that you share is a First Amendment right.
It's giving people the means to get their message out. The key is, though, full disclosure. Right now, with the system they have, you have massive amounts, even if they obey the law, of hypocrisy. They have these so-called independent committees. Right now, they can make expenditures, raise money, and that's not publicly disclosed. So I believe in full public disclosure. If you set up a committee, everyone should see where you're getting the money from, where the money is going. I mean, the unions poured millions in some of these congressional and Senate races, and we still don't know where that money came from.
That's right. All right, well, it's going to be an interesting year, and there are a lot of investigations, not just campaign finance, but of course, all the gates, and I'm not even going to bother going through them. I'm just going to ask you whether, in your view, any of these investigations ultimately will really go anywhere, or will the people with the power protect themselves?
Well, they're certainly going to try to protect themselves. You see it with this White House, where Clinton can show himself to be a great master, great wonk, and great detail.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly, they have these huge memory lapses on certain things. You're going to see a lot of that, but I think there will be, I think some of this is going to hurt. It is going to stick. And that may, funny enough, if the opposition and pro-growth Democrats play their cards right, might force the president to do some reforms that he might not do otherwise, including the tax area.
So in other words, somebody may actually have to pay for mistakes that were made.
Revolutionary, isn't it?
Yes, revolutionary. The president will also, I'm told, propose tonight college tuition tax credits of $1,500, $10,000 tax deduction, that sort of thing. He's going to concentrate a lot on the area of education. Do you applaud that or think that it's a ruse?
Well, unfortunately, again, it gets back to this idea they take your money and then they find a way to pretend to give it back to you, and you applaud that they're being so nice and considerate of some of the expenses you face in trying to raise a family, get your kids educated. I think the key thing is, on that kind of tax credit, why not first let people keep more of what they earned? And then they do have programs now where you can get grants, you can get loans. If those need beefing up to help some people, fine, do that. But trying to use the tax code, they'll do it in ways where a lot of people won't get what they've been promised. It'll increase the power of the bureaucracy, and we're not going to end up getting as much as we think we're going to get. It's the typical Washington game. Make it sound nice. Make it sound like they're doing something in an area that people really feel there's a need in, but it's always less than meets the eye.
Well, Mr. Forbes, that was your message. How do we get that message, empowerment, by actually returning the money to the people, or letting them keep it, better said, how do we get that message to resonate with the American people and then translate it into votes for somebody like yourself who would actually get it done?
I think the key is persistence, doing what you're doing. This new organization that you mentioned that I'm starting to promote issues like the flat tax and a new system for younger people, parental control of the schools. There are a number of organizations out there working on some of these issues, and we just have to keep hammering away. When people, one of the things I discovered in the campaign was that people were genuinely interested in major reforms. Even if they didn't agree with what you proposed, they wanted a real discussion on it, a chance to ask real questions on it.
Right.
People do go beyond sound bites if they think there's something worth talking about.
But those are the people that are engaged. And what I haven't figured out is how to engage those who just frankly don't care or who have given up. And there's got to be some way to engage those people. If you could do that, then you'd really be on the way.
I think persistence is the key. You keep hammering away on the message, and then people, more and more people say, hey, let's make this happen. If you look at the history of some of the great changes we've had in our country in the past, starting with our own independence, you recognize that it took years of work, grassroots work, to get the message out there. And then it begins to take hold. But the key is not to give up on it. The key is to be persistent, find ways to persuade people, try to find new ways to engage people, and eventually, if it's right, it will come to pass.
Mr. Forbes, you mentioned persistence. When the next opportunity comes to run for president, do you intend to be persistent?
Well, one way or the other, it's much too early to tell even who the players are going to be, but one way or the other, I will remain engaged. And one of the things I hope that this new organization I'm starting will achieve, help achieve working with others, is that regardless of who emerges, we're going to help set an agenda that they will respond to, have to respond to, because of public support, so we will get some of these reforms.
All right. As a final question, looking at the market this year, you gave me some generally good advice. It sounded like my financial advisor, but what do you believe will occur to the market this year?
I don't think the market is going to be much higher at the end of the year than it was at the beginning of the year. There are going to be some ups and downs. The key to keep your eye on is what this Congress does. If they do something good on the tax front, if they keep the administration from going crazy on new regulations, then I think we have some hope. But if they give up on a real tax bill, if they retreat as they started to do last year on some of these regulations, then this economy is going to really slow.
Well, I'll cross my fingers, and I'm sure you will, Mr. Forbes. It has been a distinct pleasure and honor to have you on the program. Short as it has been, let us do it again sometime.
I look forward to it. All right, thank you so much.
All right. Well, there you have it. That was my interview with Steve Forbes late yesterday morning, and I know a lot of you didn't get an opportunity to hear it, so I thought I would squeeze it in for you. Well, obviously, at the top of the hour, we will delve quickly into the Los Angeles area and find out what's going on down there. I hear it's quiet. We will confirm that and then move on to other business. From the high desert, this is the American CBC Radio Network.
You're listening to Coast AM with Art Bell. Listeners west of the Rockies can call Art toll-free by dialing 1-800-618-8255. If you're east of the Rockies, the toll-free number is 800-825-5033. If you've never called Art before, you may use the first-time caller line at area code 702-727-1222. And the wild card line is area code 702-727-1295. When you get through, let it ring, and Art will answer your call in order on the air. This is the CBC Radio Network.
Call Art Bell toll-free west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies at 1-800-825-5033. 1-800-825-5033. This is the CBC Radio Network.
It absolutely is top of the morning. You know about O.J. by now. The, actually, 16 months after O.J. Simpson was cleared of murder charges, legally, a civil trial jury unanimously blamed him Tuesday for the brutal killings of his ex-wife and her friend. They ordered him to pay $8.5 million in compensatory damages. The rest of the damages are yet to be determined. Jury will reconvene on Thursday, and there will be, no doubt, millions more. The only question worth asking was, or has justice now been done? And I don't think so. I can't say I think so. I've always thought that he was guilty, and as you know, and justice done with an order for money to be paid. Well, it may mitigate things a bit, but I wouldn't go so far as to say justice has been done. The president gave his State of the Union address. As usual, not much comment on that. People never seem to want to comment on the president's State of the Union address. There must be a reason for that. In Texas, there's been a recommendation that Darlie Rauter die by lethal injection. She is the one who allegedly stabbed her two children to death. This is for the first charge. She faces a pending charge for killing her six-year-old son, Devin. In other words, both of them with a butcher knife. Now, what I'm going to do for this half hour is open my West of the Rockies line and my first-time caller line for Los Angeles. Let us query the people in Los Angeles and see if all is quiet. Now, the reports I have indicate that all is quiet. The night, though, is fairly young, and so I just thought I'd try and get a bit of feedback from the people in Los Angeles and see if it is so. So is it so? Los Angeles only, please, at 1-800-618-8255, L.A. only, this half hour. Also, L.A. only on the first-time caller line, at area code 702-727-1222. 702-727-1222. Both those lines, Los Angeles callers only, please. At the bottom of the hour, since I'm going to be taking about 3 days vacation here. And I'm going to an undisclosed resort location in Mexico. By the way, there are some earthquake, very unsettling earthquake predictions for the west coast of Mexico or the U.S. These coming from Jack Coles, and I'll tell you more about those over the next few days, it figures. Inevitably, when I take a vacation, any sort of vacation, stuff happens. That's the way it is. So I'm going to bring my mom is here visiting, and I promise, and so at the bottom of the hour, and I will bring her on the air. You can talk to Ma Bell. Here we go. Let us find out what is going on in Los Angeles. First time caller line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Yeah, I'm calling from Hollywood, and Hollywood. ABC reported there was a car bomb.
A car bomb?
Yeah, in Hollywood, and they evacuated an area of Hollywood.
When did that?
That just happened tonight. I was listening to your show, and I heard it. ABC announced it like it was shortly after.
Like at the top of the hour?
Yeah, I think it was shortly after midnight.
So there's already an evacuation underway.
Yeah, the certain area of Hollywood. And I also wanted to say, when were you supposed to find out from Ed Dames the Harper situation? Or Kramer, I'm sorry, Kramer situation.
Kramer. Well, I don't know. You know, they go to work, and it takes a lot of work. I'm not a remote viewer, but I know the projects take some time, so a matter of days, and obvious, you know me, the minute I know, you will know.
Right on. Well, I just want to say have a good time on your vacation.
Oh, thank you. Very kind. Thank you very much for the call. And so anybody else out there confirming that news of a bomb or an area evacuated in Hollywood? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, my name's John.
Hi, John.
I'm calling from Los Angeles.
Yes, sir.
I also can confirm that report about the bomb threat that was, well, allegedly some car windows blew out of a car, and there was some sort of evacuation of the area, which is kind of similar to what happened a couple of weeks ago. And that's all I really know about that.
Okay, so far, though, with regard to massive unrest or anything?
I don't know, and I don't think that has anything to do with the OJ thing either. I think that's completely unrelated.
Yeah, it could be totally unrelated.
I'm sure it is unrelated.
Well, reaction generally to the OJ thing?
My personal reaction?
Sure.
I am so sick of hearing about that thing. I've been so sick about it.
Yeah,
that,
I know.
You know, I just could care less, to be honest with you. I'm really glad it's over, and I hope that all this peripheral stuff that's going to be related to all of the rest of it is just going to die and be done with as soon as possible.
It won't happen in our lifetimes. We will be burdened hearing about the O.J. Simpson thing until we die, and then our children will read about it.
Oh, God. I'm sorry. You might be right about that.
Yeah, I'm sure I am. All right.
Can I ask you another thing?
Sure.
Can you let the cat out of the bag about the KABC thing as far as how you guys are going to work that out?
No, the cat has to remain in the bag until KBC calls me and tells me. I mean, I know what's going on, but I can't talk about it.
Well, the one thing I think would be a good compromise is if that you guys could preempt Mr. KBC's show if you guys have a guest. And otherwise, if it's open lines, then, you know, let him have his show until midnight. Right? Good compromise?
No, you can't do programming that way. You know, half the time, do you know how I get guests? Sometimes I get them 10 minutes before airtime. Do you know that 10 minutes before airtime tonight, I talk to a guy. This is the truth. This one, you'll love this one.
Okay.
Do you have any idea where Wilmington, California is?
No, I don't.
I don't either. But I talked to a guy up in Oregon who said that there was, a few days ago, a big UFO bunch of sightings in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And get this, brace yourself, a 1950s vintage automobile fell out of the sky in Wilmington, California. And they roped off the whole area, and nobody knows much about it, but I talked to a man who does know about it. Now, my immediate question was Ford or Chevy, but there is no report on that yet. But I'm serious, some kind of automobile.
I haven't seen that on any of the news stations here.
Well, that figures. When do you ever hear on news stations about what I talk about?
Fair enough. Well, I appreciate your time.
Thank you very much for the call. And on our first time calling a line, you're on the air. Hello. Hello there. Going once, going twice, gone. Wild card line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Art. This is John up in Dublin.
Hi, John.
Sorry I missed listening to Mr. Forbes last night. Did you have any questions from the audience?
No. No, we had 30 minutes, so I pummeled him with every good question I could think of.
Okay, well, if you talk to him again, he mentioned about how the government figures their budget. You might ask how CPAs figured the budget for corporation, took a course in public accounting. I was amazed at the greatest, you might say, lying available to the United States.
Okay.
And on OJ, I know you sort of are wondering about this too, and I'm wondering, isn't it double jeopardy?
Well, yeah, there is that aspect to it, but no, because one is criminal and one is civil.
Right.
So it would only be double jeopardy if it were a double criminal trial. Now, when you talk about the trial of the officers, then you're talking, in my opinion, what amounts to double jeopardy. You remember, Justice Department came in and said, oh, no, this verdict is no good, and they had another trial. That was double jeopardy.
Yeah, I hear you, and I agree with that, but it seems like his is, too. The laws, I think, need to be reduced.
The laws reduced. All right. Well, thank you. I'm generally for that. International line, whoops, you would have been on the air. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, Art. This is Jeff from Los Angeles.
How you doing?
Pretty good. Everything's pretty peaceful here, I have to say. I was down on the front lines today at the courthouse.
Mm-hmm.
And
were you there when OJ came out?
Yeah, I was.
Was there more clapping or more booing?
A lot of booing. there was a lot of booing when he drove up in his Suburban with his bodyguard.
Hmm. Well,
it was interesting after the verdicts were announced, and everyone kind of dispersed on the front yard of the courthouse, and the media just jumped on everybody, and it was kind of like the atmosphere was almost like we were all dismissed from graduation, and we were citizens again, you know, and, you know, we had new hope, and so they were eager
well,
to find out
it,
our
let me ask you this. Does it really represent justice? If two lives were taken, the unanimous verdict of this civil jury, then does the money really represent justice, or does it just mitigate a little bit?
I think you're probably correct that it's not really justice.
Yeah.
But I think there's a broader, a larger perspective or reality that O.J.'s a part of that he hasn't had to deal with yet.
The cosmos?
Yes.
I would have to agree with you. That trial yet awaits. Fortunately, we won't have to watch that on CNN.
Yeah, but it's very peaceful, and it wasn't at all like after the criminal trial where people were jumping and screaming with joy and getting crazy. It was very civil after the verdict was announced.
Very civil for a civil trial.
Yes.
All right, thank you very much for the call. And on our international line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Art. This is Jesse from Clearwater, D.C.
How you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
Fine.
Sounds like you're having a pretty good show tonight, all that O.J. crap.
Well, yeah. Look, maybe this will be it.
I hope so.
I don't know.
I'm getting pretty sick of hearing about it. Anyways, the thing I phoned to ask you about, I was wondering if you'd heard about a man named John McConagall. He wrote a book called Mind Trek.
Sure. He's a remote viewer.
Yeah. I just saw him in the strangest place today on a Canadian talk show.
Really?
Yeah.
The conservative Canadians are beginning to interview remote viewers? What is the world coming to?
Well, I don't know. I was trying to tape it for my dad. I'm trying to explain this all to him about what remote viewing is.
Yes.
And he's thinking about that seaweed-eating, bead-rattling psychics, right?
You know what? I think you just hit on something. Wouldn't it be cool if we had remote beating? Who do you think would deserve to be remotely beaten?
O.J.?
See, here you go. Adding on. Piling on. All right.
Oh, well, it's just like a soap opera. I mean, my God, it's been on Canadian news since Bronco case.
Oh, really? So how much has there been in the news there in Canada about O.J.?
Well, an obscene quantity.
Really?
I don't think anybody really gives a damn. Nobody's ever going to find out what really happened.
Yeah, you're exactly right. It will be debated for years. Now we've got a legal situation where he's been exonerated, a civil situation where, in effect, he's been convicted, and so now fuel to the fire and the controversy until, believe me, we're dead and gone, buried. Our children will be arguing about it.
My son won't.
No?
No. Every time O.J. comes on, I had to turn the TV off or send him out of the room.
Good for you.
Enough crap tickling a person's brain to begin with.
Tickling a person's brain. All right. I like the remote beating idea. Thank you.
Well, that sounds pretty good. I got a couple of ex-husbands that would be pretty good candidates, too.
Let me rethink this. All right. Thank you very much for the call.
Take care.
Remote beating. That'd be great, wouldn't it? Take this. Take that. There'd be an unseen force. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Art.
Yes.
This is Jim in Redondo Beach.
How you doing?
I'm doing okay. It's an honor and a pleasure.
Thank you.
I work here for a local utility company. I've been out in the streets and everything's very quiet. I don't see any problems at all.
What we want to hear.
The only thing that I'm really surprised is listening to all the local radio stations and including your friend Mr. KBC is...
Yes.
The separation in along racial lines again. It seems like it's really quite divided still.
Of course. I mean, really, what did you expect?
Well, I thought it might ease up a little bit.
In other words, you believe in miracles.
Yeah, I guess so.
No, it's not that way. It's going to be that'll be divided along racial lines forever. That was guaranteed with the first trial, and I mean guaranteed. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Darren calling from Reno.
Yes, sir.
Remote beating, I like that.
Yeah, who would you like to have remotely beaten?
Oh, I don't know, maybe Clinton? I don't know.
The President of the United States?
I'm just joking. I couldn't
jerking and jumping around in the Lincoln Room as he's beaten by an unseen force?
You know the car falling from the sky?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. I was wondering if you ever caught any of the Arthur C. Clarke's Mysterious World?
No, but what comes to mind is Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Do you remember the beginning of that movie? Do you remember when they were out in the, I think it was the Negev Desert, wasn't it? And there were all these World War II vintage airplanes out in the desert.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
That's why I thought this car thing was really cool.
Yes. Arthur C. Clarke had a couple of shows on. I don't know if you've ever heard of any of this stuff, but there's been a lot of, I guess it's like a paranormal phenomenon where a lot of different cases where stuff just falls from the sky, like fish.
Yeah, I've heard of all that.
Frogs.
Frogs, oh yeah, it's raining frogs.
Ice.
Yeah, but rarely 1950s vintage automobiles.
Yeah, that's pretty
That
neat.
One's new, and if I can get to the people, and I think I can, to interview about this, I'm going to. And supposedly,
tonight? Or?
No, not tonight.
Okay.
not tonight unless I get really lucky. And if you folks are out there who want to talk about this, fax me your number. But I did talk to somebody in Oregon, and he's digging up the people for me.
Great.
He knows them. All right?
All right.
Thank you very much. Can you imagine that? A 1950s vintage automobile clunk out of the sky. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. I'm on my way to Phoenix here in the car. I just wanted to talk a little bit about what's happening with the Randall Kramer case, or the Kramer case.
Well, it is as we left it. Turn your radio off.
Okay.
It is as we left it when we last talked to them.
Okay.
Then, of course, I talked to Ed Dames, and he's going to work. So when we find out about that, it'll be on the air.
Okay. I was wondering, is it somehow, some way, the Hale Bob?
Bop. Hale Bop. Bop. Not Bob.
Bob.
Bob is a friend of mine in San Jose.
Okay.
Hale is one half of a comet called Hale Bop. B-O-P-P.
Okay. I was wondering. There was so much with the with that, and then the Kramer case comes along. It just seems so coincidental. That somebody,
how do you see them as related?
I don't know, Art. Is this with the timing of having Kramer? Because I hadn't been listening for a couple weeks, and then all of a sudden you came out with Kramer.
Now, if you want a coincidence, talk about what Mr. Kramer is alleged by a sister to have said about a supernova.
Right. That is incredible.
And a gravity wave. Then you're talking about some serious coincidence.
I think your show is a gravity wave, Art.
Thank you, my friend.
Okay.
Take care. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, this is Curtis from San Diego.
How you doing?
Okay. Well, it's finally, he's guilty. I'm glad, but it's a shame that he wasn't found guilty like he should have been in the first trial.
Legally. So, you know, if the question is, has justice been done? Then,
well,
I don't see how you can say yes. Yeah, there's a mitigation here. It's a little bit better, but not justice. Not for two murders.
And I don't know how we can change the law to where he could be retried.
Would you really want to do that?
Well, I think they should have just let it. He's lucky, really, to be alive because that cop during that chase saved his life. He was going to kill himself.
Well, you know what? Most people with a gun in their hands and the will to kill themselves do. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I'm wondering why that was never let into evidence, that phone call, because he sounded guilty.
Yeah, I wondered about that myself, and I still don't understand why it was not admitted into evidence. The whole chase thing and the phone call. I agree with you, sir, and I appreciate your call.
All right, see you.
All right, take care. Coming up, Ma Bell. That's actually my mom coming up next. She's here to visit, so I'm going to put her on the radio, ask her questions, and be nice.
All right.
You first take my word.
Dixie. No one can take your place.
This is TRN and CBC, Talk Radio Network and Chancellor Broadcasting Company, home of Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Hi, this is Art Bell. You know, if I knew what was coming next, I don't think it would be nearly so much fun. I do a program called Coast to Coast AM, and it's right here throughout the nighttime, the late night hour. So if you can't sleep, or you don't want to sleep, or you just would like to join us for sort of an all-night party, be here. BBC, Chancellor Broadcasting Company. For the strange and unusual, it's Dreamland with Art Bell. What do we discuss on Dreamland? Two fascinating areas. Is there life after death, and are we alone in the universe? Two ultimate questions mankind's been trying to answer for thousands of years. We'll be talking about it this week, right here on Dreamland.
Taking calls on the wildcard line at 702-727-1295. That's 702-727-1295. First-time callers can reach Art Bell at 702-727-1222. 702-727-1222. Now, here again, Art Bell.
And oh, by the way, I would like to add, if you're out there in the international community, anywhere else in the world, would like to reach us, we have an international line available for you. And here's how you get to it. You call the AT&T operator and ask her to please connect you to the United States with a toll-free number, which is 800-893-0903. I'll give that again in a second here. The other way to do it is to get the AT&T USA direct country code for the country you're in, and then dial 800-893-0903. All right, coming now from Long Island, New York, my mom. and here she is. Hello, Mom.
Hi, Trey.
Hi. And everybody should know, Trey is the nickname that I was given when?
Well, really at birth, and I was very interested to read an article about Bill Gates the other day and to discover that his dad calls him Trey.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Yeah.
It's a not bad connection to have, I suppose.
Not bad at all.
Hey, Bill, Trey. So my family has always called me Trey. My mom lives on Long Island in a little town called?
Southold.
Southold.
Right.
Southold. And you listen to what radio station back there when you can hear my program?
WELI, and it's not when I can listen to it. I can hear it beautifully across the sound from, I think it's Hamden.
Hamden, Connecticut.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's WELI. Thank you, WELI. And my mom was a Marine. That is, until I guess I ended her career.
Absolutely.
I was what ended your career, right?
Yes, you were.
And there's been a recent big controversy at Camp Lejeune, which is where I was born.
Right.
And so we were talking about that the other night, and we've got listeners there, too. So I was in North Carolina for how long? How much of my life did I spend in North Carolina?
Oh, just a couple of months, actually. And then we went back to Connecticut.
Mm-hmm. And then moved quite a bit, so we...
Oh, hopscotched all over the country.
That's right. So I had a fax from somebody here a little while ago and said, how could you possibly allow Arthur to go into the Air Force after you and went stabbed with the Marines?
We didn't really have anything to say about
That's
it.
That's right. That's exactly right, folks.
However, I have nothing against the Air Force.
Thank you.
It's great.
Thank you. All right. What I want to do is give the audience an opportunity to ask of you whatever questions they will. And I've begged of them to be reasonably polite.
Yes, be kind. I'm petrified.
Let's see. Your visit here has, we have updated your computer.
Oh, yes. Went in for major surgery the morning after I arrived. And it now has all new organs.
Organs.
And I couldn't be happier.
It also now has Windows 95, folks.
96.
90. Well, with the updates, 96. That's right. The infamous Windows 95 and 96. All right. Let's go to the audience and allow them to ask you questions and see what it is they ask. With some trepidation, he pushes the first line and says, "East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello there. Where are you?"
Iowa.
I'm
from Iowa.
Yes, sir. Hi.
Hey, how you doing, Trey?
Thanks.
Hey, I got a question for Ma Bell.
All right.
Say, what is Art's favorite meal?
Oh, that's easy. He likes the plainest sort of food. I would say probably steak or hamburger.
You got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also got a question. Well, I'm still interested in those time machines. I'd sure like to build one and then go back and see if O.J. really did, you know, do what he did.
Well, even if you went back and saw O.J. committing the crimes, it wouldn't change a legal trial that is concluded.
Yeah.
Because there is no double jeopardy. So you'd come back screaming bloody murder, so to speak, and it wouldn't have any effect at all. But you'd know.
Well, I'd probably take some pictures of it, and then they'd say they were phony, huh?
That's right. That's right. All doctored up, sir. All right. Thank you very much for the call. Take care. All right. First time caller line. You're on the air with Art Bell and Ma Bell. Hi.
Yes. Hello there, Art.
Hi.
How are you tonight?
Just fine.
And Ma Bell, I have a question for you.
Okay.
What is your view on the OJ thing, and do you think he did it?
These are good questions. All right.
Well, I'll be absolutely honest with you.
I hope so.
I think you did.
Oh, absolutely. Great.
What about today's civilian?
I was thrilled.
Oh, well, I was doing backflips out in the street. This is Todd from Milwaukee and Art, and I've been listening to you for a long time, and this is great.
Todd, I would say ask you the same question I'm asking everybody else, and that is, today's verdict, pleasant as it is to contemplate, does not really mitigate the legal verdict that much, does it? In other words, if you're asking the question, is justice served, I don't think this suddenly creates justice for two murders.
That's correct, but if I may be completely truthful, Art, this may sound hateful, but my feeling is that I really...
Call the wild card line. Area 702-727-1295. That's horrible, sir.
I know, but I'm sorry, Art. I mean, he...
Well, I can't even let you say that.
Sorry.
We'll modify that, maybe it will... maybe it'll do something in that category.
Well, I apologize, Art, but that's what I feel because he did it.
I understand. I understand, sir. All right, thank you. Well, that also would not be justice. You do not create justice with another injustice. You don't correct one murder with another. I don't think it works that way anyway. All right, East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Art and Ma Bell. Hi.
Good morning, Art. Good morning, Ma Bell.
Good morning.
Where are you, sir?
I am in New Jersey, and I just wanted to ask Ma a question. What was Art's worst habit as a boy?
Thanks a lot. All right, my worst habit.
I think probably the fireworks business.
I like things that exploded, sir.
Anything.
A pyrotechnic maniac.
Yeah, that's right.
He also had another nasty habit. I could describe his bedroom first. It was very small. About a quarter of it was two bunk beds. Another quarter was a pinball machine, which he insisted on buying. And then there was just kind of room to walk through to get to the bed and to the pinball machine. And he used to electrify his metal doorknob. And then he'd call me.
Yeah.
And I'd come from the kitchen, and of course you know the rest.
Yeah, she'd be out there twitching on the doorknob.
You're cruel, Art. You're cruel.
Yes.
Yeah, so are you, sir.
Bye from Jersey.
Thanks for the question. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Art Bell and Ma Bell. Hi.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ma Bell. Nice to talk to you again.
Thank you. Again?
Again, I had the opportunity, the good fortune to get to speak with you last
year. Oh, no kidding. Where are you?
This is Tim in Denver.
Hi, Jim.
Hi. I just wanted to ask your mother if she enjoys traveling.
Love it. Absolutely love it. And it's great here in Nevada. It's so different than Long Island. Of course, getting away from the winter wasn't half bad either.
Yeah, we had mountains.
And I wanted to tell Art that we have great steakhouses in Denver, Art.
All right, my friend.
All right.
Enjoy your vacation.
Right. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it's going to be about 3 days, and Ma Bell here is going to be house-sitting for us. And so you'll get a chance to enjoy the desert.
Yep. The only thing about the desert that worries me is the coyotes I keep hearing when I go for a walk in the morning.
Yeah, we have coyotes here, folks. No question about it. But they don't bother you if you don't bother them.
I'm not about to bother.
You don't chase down a coyote and kick him or bite him. He'll be just happy to slink around and not bother you. First time caller line, you're on the air with Art Bell and Ma Bell. Hi, where are you?
I'm calling from Mesa, Arizona.
Yes, sir.
On KFY. Ma Bell, I was ringing.
Would you turn your radio off first, please?
I'm sorry.
No, that's all right.
I was ringing, have you ever seen a UFO?
Yes.
What?
A UFO.
Have I seen one?
No, have you?
No, never. I'd like to. And I really think they're out there somewhere, but none of them have crossed my path.
Well, I've seen one. Only one. But it was a big one. Wild card line, you're on the air with Art Bell and Ma Bell. Hi.
Hi, Art. How you doing?
All right.
Ma Bell, how are you doing?
Fine, thank you.
Nice to listen to you. And Art, I just had a question concerning, by the way, this is Dave over here in Beaverton, Oregon.
Yes, Dave.
I had a question concerning the two callers ago, I believe. You beeped out a little bit. You're such a proponent of...
free speech?
What happened there?
Well, he advocated murder.
Oh, I see.
Not cool.
Okay, but, I just wondering, with free speech and all, it'd be kind of nice to hear what...
Well, there's saying. Free speech, and then there's real trouble. And you can't, it's not like, you can't advocate murder, sir, on the air.
Okay, well, good enough. I appreciate that.
Can't advocate the overthrow of the U.S. government. I mean, there are some limits.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, well, also, I wanted to put my two cents worth on, and I agree with you on the mitigation there. I mean, sure, maybe O.J. didn't win the civil trial, but still, I think Ron and Nicole still got a bum deal. And I'm glad that he is held accountable financially, I don't think, I think the criminal case would have been a lot more satisfying.
Well, if you're talking about justice.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, but it mitigated a little bit. So, some people it was at least a day to be happy about something that they haven't had much happiness about so far.
Yeah, maybe we'll go away for a while. We can move on to something else.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
please.
So, did you watch the O.J. trial?
Yes. Well, not constantly the way a lot of people did. But
I did constantly.
I know you did. I remember you talking about
throw up.
But I did. I looked in on it and I caught the news at night, and I was pretty much up to date.
Okay. All right. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Art Bell and Ma Bell. Hi.
Hello. God bless both of you.
Thank you.
Okay. As far as Wilmington, it's on the west end of L.A. Harbor.
Oh, is it really?
Yes,
now, this is where the 1950s vintage car supposedly fell from the sky. We have yet to find out about that, but it's near L.A. anyway.
Yes. I have no idea. I haven't heard anything about that.
Hmm.
But something that your listeners may like, you can get the 10th Insight in the libraries now.
What's that?
Have you ever heard of Celestian Prophecies?
Oh, yeah.
The 10th Insight is the follow-up book.
Okay. Glad to hear it, sir. Thank you very much. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Art Bell and Ma Bell. Hello there. Going once, going twice, gone. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Yes, this is my first time. This is Dean. They call me Dr. Dean.
Okay, where are you, Dr. Dean?
I'm in Redlands.
Redlands, California.
Right.
All right.
I have a question for your mom, but I also have some information I'd like to pass on to you that might help Ramona.
All right. Well, the question first.
Okay. Ma Bell?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
You know, your mom has a lovely voice. She sounds like the sweetest person.
Thank you.
You listen a lot to Art. I'd like to know, what's your favorite subject? He covers so many things. I've listened to Art for a long time, and he's gotten rather upset with this stuff like Gulf War syndrome, and it looks like some kind of conspiracy but with aliens and all the different subjects. What do you like the best?
All right. Fair question. What do you like?
Well, that's for me?
Yeah.
Well, I listen every night, and I find the mix fascinating. I mean, if you talked about politics all the time, I think I like politics, but I think I'd be bored. And the show is a constant surprise to me.
Me too.
That's true.
My dog likes it too.
Art, I've been listening to you since you were on KDON.
That was a long time.
Yeah.
You said you had some information.
Yes. Are you familiar with Perceptions Magazine? I'm sure you have been contacted. Do you have a copy?
Not presently, but I know the magazine. Why?
Okay. Well, they have an 800 number. You can just find them at Culver City. But a year ago, September issue, the Dr. Suzanne Hennig wrote an article about meeting Dr. Sam Chichua from Australia that became a medical doctor at 19 years old with cures for everything.
Well, they probably killed him then, right?
Just about.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, that's the story. He goes down with the carburetor that gets 100 miles to the gallon and all the rest of it when people come up with cures and cancer cures. Why the AMA generally has them killed when you come up with a carburetor that gets 100 miles per gallon. The Detroit people have those people killed and confiscate the carburetors. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Art Bell and Ma Bell. Hi.
Hi, this is Don from Tennessee.
Hello, Don.
Hi, Ma Bell. Welcome to the airwaves.
Thank you, Don.
My question to you is, do you have the same fascination with the netherworld that your son does?
Yes. Yes.
Do you? So it is somewhat hereditary there. Or have you discussed it with him?
Maybe it's genetic, huh?
Yeah.
It could be. I'm fascinated with things that I don't understand and that a lot of people don't understand. I can't help it.
Yeah. Now I'm the same as you, I never even knew that my mother had the same fascination with this stuff until maybe 5 or 6 years ago.
Well, have you ever noticed, sir, that there's a lot of things that you don't learn about your parents?
Right.
Until you begin to get a little bit older and realize that they're just sort of like you are?
Yeah. And this is one factor right there that I didn't discover until, like I said, just a few years ago, and I had no idea that she was like that.
Well, there are a lot of things in this world, thank you, that we don't understand. And they're the ones that I'm interested in, the ones that are obvious. I mean, we could sit here and talk about O.J. Simpson until we got blue in the face, and that wouldn't be very long either. But there are lots of other things in this life that are fun to investigate that we don't understand. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Art Bell and Ma Bell. Hi.
Hi. My name is David from Selma, Oregon, and I'm glad to be on the phone with Ma Bell and yourself, Mr. Bell.
Thank you.
Thank you, David.
I'd like to share one more thing about the O.J. trial, if I may. I've been wanting to get off my chest for a while.
All right.
I used to live a catty corner on the other side of the block from where Nicole and Ron were murdered, and I was there that night, but my mom had passed away, I don't know, a little couple of years before that, but I was still very depressed about it, and I saw two vehicles leave the scene. One was the white Bronco, and, you know, and I followed them, and I saw them across the street.
Come on now. If you'd done all this, you should have been in contact with...
I have.
You have.
But I'm a lousy witness because of my memory problem at that time being depressed.
Uh-huh. So they didn't want to use you.
That's right.
Hmm.
Anyway...
You could have turned the case.
I definitely could have, but I was just so depressed that I just... anyway, I'm glad that your mom is around, and I'm glad for that. And I did have one quick question for her.
All right.
I appreciate getting that off my chest, too.
Go ahead.
What... when did he first show interest in radio?
Oh, all right. When did he first show
interest? Yeah, that's right.
Oh, it goes way back. I could go back to 3 years old when he was fooling around with my electrical appliances, cutting the plugs off and so forth. But his first real interest was ham radio. Started at about 12, didn't it, Fred?
About 12. I think you drove me
to Philadelphia.
To Philadelphia, where I took my first ham test, right?
That's right. And he went on from there until he finally got his general license, and I don't know what after that.
Advanced.
Advanced.
Mm-hmm. So I've been a ham all those years, consistently.
You still are.
Yeah. I really did do a lot of strange things when I was young. I electrified people and blew things up. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Art Bell and Ma Bell. Hello.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Bell. Hi, Art.
Hi.
Hi.
If your son hadn't been Art and he had been O.J. or President Clinton, would you still love him?
Ooh.
Of course. Doesn't a mother always love her child? I think so. I mean, I can't speak for all the mothers in the world, but...
Would you stop loving your child if your child did something bad?
I think love does have its limits.
Well, I'm not so sure that it does. Well, you know, everybody's different, and it may well be that that's how you would be, but no matter how awful a thing somebody who is your sister, brother, mother, father, son does, I don't think that changes the blood connection in you.
Well, I think it goes back to blood, blood being thicker than water, as they say. I think if you're related to somebody that closely, you can't just write them off.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I mean, you certainly are disappointed with him.
Yeah,
and
of course.
It's a tragedy and all the rest of that, but gee, you don't just unlove them all of a sudden, or if you do, I don't know how you do. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Art Bell and Ma Bell. Hi.
Mrs. Bell, it's really a pleasure to hear you on the radio.
Thank you.
I remember when Art got 400 affiliates.
No, you don't. I don't have 400 yet. You mean 300.
Maybe it was 300.
Yep.
But there was, you were on the radio for a little bit mm-hmm. on the greeting that everybody gave to him, congratulating him, and I thought how wonderful of a person you are. And I just really want to thank you for giving birth to such a wonderful person as Art. My question, I've got a couple of them. What do you really think of Ramona, your daughter-in-law?
Well, I've talked about that before. Actually, I think very highly of her. We're not terribly close because we're so far apart geographically.
Uh-huh.
But she's a wonderful gal, and I think Trey is very fortunate to have her.
Does she take as good a care of your son as... You'd like her to?
You bet she does. She's his secretary, his wife, his mistress, his, what's that?
All of that and more. All
yeah,
right, we're gonna break here. We'll be right back from the high desert. This is the American CBC Radio Network.
Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. Listeners west of the Rockies can call Art toll-free by dialing 1-800-618-8255. If you're east of the Rockies, the toll-free number is 800-825-5033. If you've never called Art before, you may use the first-time caller line at area code 702-727-1222. And the wild card line is area code 702-727-1295. When you get through, let it ring, and Art will answer your call in order on the air. This is the CBC Radio Network.
Call Art Bell, toll-free, west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. 1-800-618-8255. 1-800-825-8255. East of the Rockies at 1-800-825-5033. 1-800-825-5033. This is the CBC Radio Network.
That's exactly what it is. Good morning, everybody. I'm Art Bell. The O.J. Simpson civil trial results are in, and the verdict is pay up. The rest of the verdict will be considered beginning Thursday. That's the big news. The president's State of the Union address. I don't know how big the news is there. Not too much comment on it. My mom is here. And for the next half hour, we are going to continue to take questions from the audience for my mom. That'd be Mom Bell, I guess. So we'll get back to that in a moment. All right, well, my mom is here. Her real name is Jane, by the way, but everybody calls her Ma Bell, and so we'll call her Ma Bell. And here's a fax. Dear Art and Ma, please, 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 let's not talk about the O.J. civil trial any more than we have to. I have a question for your mom. Art, it is. What is the funniest thing your son ever did around the household? See, can they ask minor questions, non-embarrassing questions? No. So what is the funniest thing I ever did around the house?
Well, there were lots of them, but one thing I remember was when you were about 2 years old, and I put you down for your nap in the afternoon and put the hook on the door because you had a tendency to climb out of your crib and take off.
Freedom.
Freedom. But I forgot that particular afternoon to
hook
the hook. And all of a sudden you were missing, and my heart stopped, but I looked outside and couldn't see you. Then I happened to look down the row of houses, and I saw a circle of people standing around looking down, and I figured that something horrible had happened to you.
There I was, flattened like a flat cat on the road.
Right. So I ran as fast as I could, and I arrived to find my neighbors standing around you, looking down at you, naked as a peeled banana.
So I had traversed the block naked.
You took your night clothes off and left that one. So I had to walk you back.
There are some things I think that are better not remembered, that our brain blocks out, you know, and I don't remember that. So
well, mothers remember those stories.
Right. All right. Well, if you have questions for my ma in the next half hour here, fire away. Here we go. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Art Bell and Ma Bell. Hello.
Hello there.
Hi.
I actually got the radio off for a change.
Good for you. Where are you, sir?
Idaho Falls.
All right.
I actually talked to you before a couple years ago when I was in Salt Lake.
Oh, yes.
You talked like, a couple hours about ham radio.
Oh, yes.
But I was going to ask your mom, and ask you too, I guess, what her reaction was about the, she thought of the little pirate radio escapade.
Well, she really wasn't around when I did that. I was in the Air Force when I did that whole pirate radio thing.
Right. I remember reading about it in your book.
Right. That occurred in the Air Force, and I was at Amarillo Air Force Base at the time. So I was off on my own getting in trouble by that time. Wild Card Line, you're on the air with Art and Ma Bell. Hi.
Hi, Art and Ma Bell.
Hi.
Hi. What I'm going to ask is something, this is like a family program because you have family on now, and I have a sibling who does witchcraft, and she makes me give her money, but she's all right, really, but I don't know how to break the spell. How would you do that? And also, do you believe in UFOs?
Well, that's already been asked.
Okay.
The answer is I do.
Okay. And what would you do about a sibling who is a good sibling, but she's like what Newt Gingrich called Mrs. Clinton. Should I get her a counseling session with Newt Gingrich?
I don't know. She seems to be doing all right for herself if she has you coughing up money.
Right.
First time caller line, you're on the air with Art and Ma Bell. Hi.
Hi there, Art. I'm from Stockton.
Yes, sir.
And about a week ago, you talked about Hellbop and...
Hellbop.
Bop. I'm sorry. And you said that, people said that they were able to see it now?
Yeah, sure. It's, a little better than 10 degrees above the horizon about an hour before sunrise in the morning, sir, so go out and take a look. Wild Card Line, you're on the air with Art Bell and Ma Bell. Hi.
Hey,
Radio. Darrell, this is Dave calling from KSFO Country. How you doing?
San Francisco. Yes, sir.
You betcha. Hey, listen, I knew you were a cut-up when you were growing up. No question in my mind.
Had to be, huh?
Had to be. In any case, I was going to ask Mara Bell there, who did you get that from, her or Pop?
Okay, that's a fair question, I guess.
Well, I think a lot of it came from his dad. But, I think most of it did, actually.
Yeah, I think my dad was a big practical joker.
Right, right.
Well, it's just, you fell right in his footsteps.
Well, I guess so. I guess that's right.
And then, Mara Bell, did you ever think that he would obtain the celebrity status that he did today?
Huh, that's a good question.
Well, all mothers hope their sons will do well, but to be absolutely truthful, I did not expect this meteoric rise of his, and I think he's a little bit surprised himself.
Very. Very. That's the truth. I really don't understand, and I'm not even sure I want to, you know, why it's working so well. Who knows? I don't know, and I try not to dissect it. So that's an honest answer to that. No, I didn't expect it, and it just happened. It's really nice that it happened, and I try not to, pull it apart and understand it. Maybe if I did, it wouldn't work.
The formula seems to be successful, and it probably is better to do just what you're saying, to leave it alone and just
do it.
Hope it keeps...
That's right. Just do it, is my attitude. Wild card, don't think about it, just do it. Wild card line, you're on the air with Art and Ma Bell. Hi.
Yes, Ma Bell, I want to thank you for your son.
Well,
this is an old lady that stays up all night listening to him, and then I sleep in the daytime.
I do the same thing.
Well, I wanted to ask you, I've been just absolutely desperate to get a hold of you, to tell you about a program I heard here in Wichita, the last hour of it. It's a three-hour program last Sunday night. He had a doctor on by the name of Richard Boylan. Have you heard of him, Art?
I've had Richard Boylan on many times, sure.
Well, he was on that show, and he's written a new book called Project Infamy.
That's right.
And he was telling about, what he was telling about was exactly what the man that was supposed to be on your show that both of the people didn't have on there that caused such a reaction. Did you know that?
You're talking about Hale Bopp and all that?
No, a UFO.
UFOs. Dr. Richard Boylan, yes, is very involved, and I've had him on several times. So
well, have you heard of it, what he has to say lately?
Well, I haven't had him on since his book has come out.
I didn't hear the first of it.
I see.
He was speaking of the government not going to announce the UFOs. He was leading it up to a team of 13. They're made up of all kinds of people, no corporations, business, the government people.
Yeah, BMJ-12, probably.
And that there will be a meeting with these people, but in April, before April, either this week or next.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do, dear. I'll have Richard Boylan on. How's that?
Okay, get him. You need his number or anything?
No. I've got
it. Well, I'm dying to know the first 2 hours of the show.
All right. Thank you very much. We'll see if we can get hold of him. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Art Ma Bell. Hi. Hello there. Going once, twice, three times, gone. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
Boy, I always had about probably 10 cents every time I try to call you.
Well, here you are.
thanks. I'm Gary from Traverse City, Michigan.
Yes, Gary.
And I'd just like to know, I've heard in your ads that you're saying the weather is going to get worse, and we can't get much more snow up here than what we've got.
Yeah, it's been a rough winter for you, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard your advertisements, and, it's going to get worse. Where do you get that from?
Where do I get it from?
Yeah.
Just the feeling and the facts. I mean, it's being documented year by year now. Every hurricane season is worse. Every summer is hotter. Every winter is colder. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to divine the weather is worsening.
Right. Well, yeah, but I don't understand. Last winter we didn't have as much snow, and now it's a lot worse.
Mm-hmm. Well, it depends on what the jet stream is doing, and if you look carefully at the jet stream, you will see that it is beginning to twist and writhe, and as Ed Dames has suggested, in spots touching the deck. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Art and Ma Bell. Hi.
How you doing, Art? How you doing, Mom?
Hi.
Hi.
All right. Art, do you know that you were on a shortwave a while back?
No, I didn't know that.
Yes, sir. You were a little station out of Nashville had you. I think it was a fellow by the name of Brother Stair had you on there talking about that Vatican program you had there.
Oh, you mean he was talking about it?
Yeah, he had the tape of your show playing.
Oh, he did, huh?
Yeah, I listened to that and I said, whoa, he's on shortwave.
Well, they do strange things out there.
Yes, sir. And I was listening to your show with Major Dames the other night, and I just couldn't believe some of the stuff he was saying.
Yep.
I was wondering if your mom believes all this stuff that, you know, sometimes these guests come on and they say some pretty wild things. I wonder if she's believing all that stuff or just kind of going, well, maybe, maybe not.
No, that's the way I go. Maybe, maybe not, but you can answer for yourself.
Well, I do the same thing. I take some of it with a grain of salt. I try to keep an open mind. I find it all fascinating to listen to.
Yeah, that's a good answer. I mean, that's really me, too. I don't take anything as gospel any more than I do from our politicians. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Art and Ma Bell. Hi.
Hi. Hi, Art. Hi, Ma.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Couldn't be better.
This is Dave. I'm here in Pahrump.
Oh, you're in
Pahrump? Oh, Pahrump.
Okay. Yes, welcome to our city.
Thank you. It's a lovely place.
Isn't it, though?
Sure is.
Oh, I just love it. And I'm so glad I live so close to Art. It makes things so much more convenient.
Well, you probably get good reception.
Well, no, actually, I have a problem with it. That, you know, he had this Wayne Green, Dr. Wayne Green.
Not doctor, just Wayne Green.
Oh, well, he's a PhD.
No, he isn't.
Oh, I thought he said. Well, at any rate, he had him on, and I personally wrote to him, and he gave me some suggestions. And, you know, Art, I'm really interested in ham radio.
Yes.
And if you know any information on how to get started or whatever.
Well, yeah, sure I do. There's a ham club here in Pahrump, and if you'll go to the post office, you'll see the meeting dates, and that's a way to get started.
Oh, great.
All right. Go down to the post office, the main post office, you'll see notices up there.
Oh, that's great.
Okay.
Hey, Ma, was Art a good kid when he was growing up, or was he really that big of a troublemaker?
Well, I think he was a typical American boy. I mean, he certainly wasn't good all the time, and I don't think I would have wanted him to be. I would have felt that he was a little...
I was a troublemaker.
You say you were?
Yeah, I think so.
I have to go along with that.
Being honest.
Not all the time.
Yeah, not all the time, but a lot of the time. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Art and Ma Bell. Hi.
Roger to New York. Art, Fred calling.
Fred, from where?
God bless both of you.
Thank you. From where? Rochester?
Rochester, New York.
Okay.
I'm an abductee. I got a few stories to tell you. I seen a white buffalo when I was 9 years old. I could go on forever, but I enjoy your program. We'll get into it some other time.
All right.
I'm a great believer. I believe in everything.
You do?
I also believe Jesus is coming to take us all home.
Well, he may be.
Yes, sir. God bless you. Hang in there.
Thank you.
All right, take care. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Art and Ma Bell. Hi.
KTRS, Southern California.
Oh, here she is.
You know, I just totally racked my brain trying to think of the most embarrassing thing that I could ask.
Oh, thanks.
Of course.
I know, but hello, Mrs. Bell. You know, I talked to you the last time, Mr. Rickers.
What is your name?
Donnell.
Oh, I have a letter from you at home.
You do?
I think so.
I don't think it's from me.
No?
I don't know your address.
Well, I have been receiving, the last time I was here, I received letters from some people, and I have still to answer them, but I have to apologize. I have just gotten on the net.
Well, that's okay. We understand.
Thank you.
Now, you know, I was thinking, you seem to have done such a fine job in raising your son. If you had one piece of advice for young mothers today, what would it be? And also, is there anything in your past to indicate that you've been abducted by aliens and implanted with alien seeds?
Well, and I might be the result of that, huh?
You know you're my favorite alien.
Yes, yes, I understand where that question's going.
And what was the other thing you...
Let's see, what did she ask?
Is she gone?
Yeah, she's gone.
Oh, I'm sorry. There was something else. I interrupted her, actually.
Was there... Was there anything? She was trying to think of the most
embarrassing
question. Oh, well. Oh, well. Too bad, Donnell. Wildcard line, you're on the air with Art and Ma Bell. Hi.
Good morning, Mrs. Bell.
Good morning.
I want to ask you about spankings, but I think Art is still sometimes a bad boy.
Well, to answer that thing about spanking, I answered that the last time I was on the air.
Did you?
Yes. I said you were hard to catch. In other words, he'd do something and then run like a deer.
That's may be kind of what he does sometimes now.
That's right. Yeah. Run like a deer.
And this is John in Las Vegas.
Yes, John.
And
hi, John.
Is Mrs. Bell coming out to Pahrump?
She is in Pahrump.
Oh, great. I thought I heard you say she was calling from...
No. She lives in Long Island, but
right.
She's here in Pahrump now.
I see. Well, welcome to Nevada, and I hope you have a wonderful visit.
Thank you very much. It's a wonderful state.
All right. Take care, my friend. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Art and Ma Bell. Hi.
Yes. Good morning, Art.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mrs. Bell.
Good morning.
This is Don in near Nashville, Tennessee. And, Mrs. Bell, a question I have for you since you served in the military, the Marine Corps, I believe. What thoughts have you had over the past year with all of the problems the Army has been having concerning female recruits? And I know you served in the military in a much different time, but did you, from your personal experience, ever notice any degree of that same type of problem when you were in the service?
You mean like sexual harassment,
yes,
that kind of thing?
Right.
Yeah, all right. It's a good question, really, I suppose. You're in the Marine Corps. You were one of the first women Marines, right?
Right.
You were a drill instructor.
Yes. But to answer your question, sexual harassment, it wasn't even called that as far as I know when I was in the service. But
well, flirting, then.
Yeah, we kind of laughed it off, you know. If someone made that kind of remark, we treated it lightly, and usually it went away.
So
now
the
people
really know.
Yeah, people tend to get very upset and sue about it.
Yeah, they go to court. That's right. So it wasn't a big deal then.
I didn't think so.
Or at least it was just handled between men and women.
Right.
All right. First time caller line. You're on the air with Art and Ma Bell. Hi.
Hi, how you doing? This is Skip calling from Madison, Wisconsin.
Hi, Skip. Yes, welcome.
Yeah, first of all, I'd like to say to Ma Bell, welcome. And also, I love listening to your show. And the question she could not remember was that was wondering about young mothers and what kind of advice.
Advice to young mothers.
Exactly.
All right, we'll get that in a second. Do you have a question?
Sure, yeah. My question is to you, Art. I'm curious. I feel that I'm a well-educated man, et cetera, but I've had weird experiences in my life. I feel that at 9 years old I was visited by the Men in Black.
Why? They usually come to collect evidence of something.
Well, I saw something that I couldn't explain.
Well, maybe they collected the evidence from your brain, but you remember it, so maybe they didn't get it.
Well, perhaps, but all I know is I saw a ball of light in the middle of outside of my street, and I was in awe of this, and so it was non-threatening to me at all.
All right, well, but the Men in Black. Well, all right, look, we got to get to this question because we're coming to the end of the time. So advice to young mothers, Annie?
Well, I don't think I'm really qualified to give advice, but I'll take a crack at it anyway. Having reached the point where my children are grown and looking back, I would give them as much love as possible. And I know that's tough because young people these days, usually the mother and dad are both working, which I didn't. But I think love is the answer.
All right. Well, probably love is the answer. Ma, thanks for being on the show.
You're welcome, honey.
And, that's it. She'll be here for a few days, sort of house-sitting for me. And I want to thank all of you for participating in this last hour with my mom. It's always great to have her on the show, and maybe in another year we'll do this again, huh, Ma?
Love to.
All right. That's it. We're going to break here at the bottom of the hour, and we'll be right back. From the high desert, you're listening to the American CBC Radio Network. For the remainder of the show, open lines, anything you want to talk about, so buckle in and look out.
This is TRN and CBC, Talk Radio Network and Chancellor Broadcasting Company, home of Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Art Bell is taking calls on the wildcard line at 702-727-1295. That's 702-727-1295. First-time callers can reach Art Bell at 702-727-1222. 702-727-1222. Now, here again, Art Bell.
Once again, here I am. Good morning. Yes, I'm probably inclined as an adult, as I was as a child, toward trouble. It's my nature. Anyway, it was a pleasure having my mom on the air. It's been about a year, I think, or a little longer, somewhere in that area, just about a year. And so it's a pleasure to have her here. Well, all right, back to the phones, open lines. Anything you all want to talk about is fair game. Obviously, with the O.J. Simpson civil trial results, some people are going to want to talk about that, unavoidable. There is a prediction by Jack Coles, or a likelihood of an earthquake along the West Coast. Well, let me read you what I've got. One large main signal, specific character low-frequency radio spikes, was received by our instruments today, February 4th, yesterday now, at 5:30 a.m. We feel there is a 75% chance of a 6-plus magnitude earthquake anywhere along the West Coast of California, down to South America. Specific dates for the watch, February 6th through the 13th. So, he continues, we will continue to monitor magnetic anomalies and very low frequency radio wave signals. Main radio signals come in 1, 4, 9, 16, and 25 days prior to events. We live in earthquake country, so being prepared is always a good idea. Jack Coles. West of the Rockies. West of the Rockies, there we go. You're on the air. Hi.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning.
This is Gina in Pasadena.
Hello, California. Gina. Yes.
And I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to speak to your mom because I had something funny to tell her.
Well, she's listening.
Okay, well, I forget exactly how old you are, but...
Me too.
You're roughly the same age. You're within a year or so of my boyfriend.
Ah.
And... he was born in Tulsa, Oklahoma,
mm-hmm.
And you and him had almost the same childhood.
Really?
Him and his brother blew up things all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, his mother would go and, you know, buy him black powder.
Really?
And, they did all kinds of things like taking toy cannons and drilling touch holes in them and,
mm-hmm.
you know, all that.
I built a lot of rockets that ended up to be more like bombs.
Well, they would,
but,
yeah.
But
they
some
would,
of
they
them
would...
flew. Look, I don't want to give a misimpression here. Some of my rockets flew.
Oh. Well, what they would do is they would launch these things and they'd set it up so that they'd put little soldiers on them, you know, little soldiers, and they'd blow up, you know, way up or something like this. They were always doing stuff like that. I just thought it was so so odd.
What I called fun as a young adult, and now as an adult even, and I still enjoy it. Today we call terrorism.
Really?
You know, they sent
in
the FBI.
It wasn't actually a UFO experience, but I got the idea of what the mothership, in my mind, would look like, and that was New Year's Day. Because I live a block north of the parade route on Colorado Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched that stealth bomber go over.
Oh, yes.
And it just, you know, it literally went over well, its wingtip was probably half block from my house, you know.
No kidding.
And just watching that thing go over, it was just so silent.
Did you get any photographs?
So slow. Unfortunately, no. I wish I had.
Huh.
But that thing was just absolutely awesome. And it was so silent going over. And then when it went several miles out and, of course, you know, turned around to come back. And when it came back, it was like thunder. And my mom up in Altadena could see it going past the Rose Bowl, and she's by miles from the Rose Bowl.
Uh-huh.
And she could hear it from where she was. The thing was absolutely awesome. And it gave me the idea of what the mothership would look like, you know.
like that, but mucho bigger. I've got you. All right, first time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi. I was kind of wondering, what exactly is remote viewing?
It's like remote beating, only different.
Okay.
What do you imagine it to be, since you don't know?
Well, I really have no clue.
No clue?
No clue.
If you'll listen toward the end of the week, you'll hear a good explanation Ed Dames will repeat, all right?
Okay.
All right, you listen for that. What is remote beating? I like the idea of remote beating. That's cool. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, this is Donna.
Donna, I can barely hear you. You'll have to talk right into your phone and yell at us.
This is Donna from Las Vegas.
Okay, Donna.
About last week you had a show on, and a caller called in about an asteroid.
Yes. That is a true story. There is a close Earth asteroid, and they're trying to plot it now and trying to look at it, but it has a possibility of colliding with Earth.
I have been scanning the news ever since, and I haven't heard anything.
Trust me, it's true.
I've been getting these letters from various workers for years, and they've been predicting this for eons.
Well, I personally think that it's because of the NBC program coming up, I think it's in this month, February, called Asteroid.
Yeah.
I think the people at NBC probably planned it.
Well, like I said, Mary's work
I understand. Well, I can barely hear you. I appreciate your call. It is true. Asteroids orbit around Sun cuts close to Earth's path, according to JPL. This is JPL, and it is possible. I think this thing is about 2 or 3 football fields in size, pretty big rock. And should it hit, it would destroy an area the size of L.A. Now, I'm not saying it's going to hit L.A. I'm just saying that is what they're saying, that it would certainly destroy an area about the size of L.A. So I'm not surprised. Nothing surprises me. Asteroid? Sure. Why not? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is J.P. from Sonoma County.
Hi.
Have you heard about our earthquake today?
I heard there were a couple. What were they, in the 3 and 4 point range?
Well, yeah, but it was really strange because, well, I'm only 2 miles from the epicenter, and it felt more like a 5.
Anytime you're near an epicenter. I do think that we're in an earthquake window for the next week or so.
Well, I want to tell you something. It's like I've been in school since I called you about a year and a half ago. I'm 49. I told you I was going back to school to study criminal justice and to be a cop. And I've been in school since 8 o'clock this morning.
Huh?
And, you know, I'm exhausted, and I've been in huge earthquakes. But there's something about these two that have alarmed me, and I feel we're going to have more. I'm afraid to go to bed.
In other words, you're thinking they're precursors.
Yeah, I was so, it's like I know when these things are going to happen. Like I just, on a radio station here, I won the Super Bowl. You know, I knew what the score was going to be without even thinking about it, and I didn't even know who was going to play. And I told everybody all morning this morning there were going to be earthquakes. And I've been in earthquakes so big that I couldn't even crawl on my hands and knees. And those did not alarm me. But these, today I feel really, really weird.
A lot of people on edge, dear. Now, that's right. Thank you very much. I really think right now there are a lot of people on edge, and we're in a window. There are windows for earthquakes, and we have just entered one. Today, tomorrow, and for about the next week, according to Jack Coles, through the 13th, I believe. You may be sure of what I'm saying here. The 6th through the 13th. So nothing would surprise me. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Mr. Bell. How are you doing?
Fine.
This is Larry from Cleveland, Ohio.
Yes, sir.
Nobody calls ever from Cleveland, so I'm glad to get through.
Well, I'm glad you did.
Okay, very good. One thing I wanted to say, the other night you were talking about the matter of the weight of a soul.
Yeah, the weight of a soul.
Right. What would happen if, you know, I mean, I'm sure you've heard of astral projection and stuff and all that. Could that be scientifically measured?
Well, I suggested exactly that on the program.
Okay,
I said,
I must have missed that part or ran to the bathroom.
Yeah, sure. In other words, if the soul leaves the body in astral projection, then it should be possible to measure that. It'd be a very interesting experiment.
Oh, yeah. I just thought, you know, that seemed like, you know, instead of just trying to get people before they die, I mean, which is a very hard proposition, you know, to say, okay, your person's passing, can we weigh them? You know, I think there's something you could actually scientifically do.
Well,
kind of in the same realm as, you know, remote viewing.
Yeah, the disappointing thing for that, with that, for the volunteer would be they never get to understand or hear the results.
True. Well, yeah, this is a definite scientific exact science, I believe.
Yeah.
All right, enjoy your show, man.
All right. Well, thank you very much for the call, and take care. You know, you'd never get to know the results, but I guess there is something about donating yourself to science. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Art, sorry I missed your mom. Simplify.
Oh, there you go.
Hey, I just wanted to let you know I've been trying to call you.
Are you on a cellular phone or something?
I am. I'm trying to stop in a good cell spot here. North Dakota Highway Patrol. So I'm just out cruising North Dakota tonight. Beautiful 20-degree weather.
Well, you're breaking up terribly.
Okay, I'm stopped right here.
Okay, that's better.
Okay, just wanted to just a little bit.
No. Not gonna watch, sir. Sorry. You'll have to find a better cell. That one wasn't cutting the mustard. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. This is Todd, Vancouver, Washington.
Hi, Todd.
Hi. I just wanted to say I love your show. It's great. But I'm a high school student. It keeps me up at night, so now I sleep days. I just thought I'd let you know that.
How can you do that if you're a high school student? You can't sleep days.
Well, when I get home from school at 2 o'clock, I sleep till about 9 o'clock.
Really?
Watch about an hour of television.
Really?
And come upstairs and listen to your show all night.
Holy mackerel.
I'd just like to say, great show.
Thank you. Your parents let you do that?
Or
they don't know?
I guess they probably don't know. I mean, they probably wonder why I sleep when I get home, but...
What's the matter with our boy? All right, thanks.
Thanks.
Take care. You imagine that he's sleeping all the time. Well, it's this program doing it, folks. And I'm talking to his folks, just in case they're listening. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hi.
Oh, hi, Art. This is Katie. I'm listening to you on WLS in Chicago.
Hi, Katie.
Hi. Your mom is charming and very articulate.
Yes, she is. And
yeah.
If I have anything, that's where it came from.
Obviously. Well, there's a subject I've been interested in for a very long time, and just before I started listening to your show, I heard a story about a man that had cloned I think it was a herd of sheep or something in Scotland.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah, right. And I've been listening to your show, and I thought for sure you'd have something on it for about a year now.
Oh, we talked about that.
I must have just missed it.
When the story came out, because obviously if you can clone sheep, the same technology can be applied to human beings.
Oh, yeah, or even parts of their body, you know, organs and what they would do for diabetes and... Oh, it'd be great.
Well, I don't know if it'd be great for the clonee.
Well, if you could
plus, really, what is a clone? In other words, would we regard a clone as a being without a soul, not a human?
Well, it depends on whether it was alive. But if you could just clone an organ, that would be great, right?
Oh, yes. But
you know,
what if you had to clone what amounted to a being to remove that organ from?
Oh, yeah, that presents a lot of ethical problems, that's true. But,
Let me pose one directly to you.
Mm-hmm.
What is your first name again?
Katie.
Katie, let's say that you were dying of liver disease, and you had a clone, a Katie clone.
Right.
And they were keeping this Katie clone in a sort of a, you know, an environment, sort of a static situation. And you could get a liver from the Katie clone that would save your life.
Uh-huh.
Would you do it?
I'm going to fudge on this a little. As I understand, you can use parts of liver in parts of your liver, and they'll regenerate.
No, I'm not allowing that. This is the entire liver.
This would mean I'd have to zap the clone, huh?
You got it.
The Chinaman button. I don't know, the clone button. Hard to say. It's like at Thanksgiving, who eats the turkey that they know, you know? I don't know. Good question, Art.
All right.
Well, anyhow, do you think you're going to have somebody on in the future?
Sure.
Oh, you can't tell me when, though.
No, but if I find somebody on the subject of cloning, we'll get them on.
Oh, well, thank you. I love your show anyhow.
Thanks, Katie.
All right, bye-bye.
See you later. Sure, if they can clone sheep, they can... Now, whether they will or not is another question. I frankly think that a lot of this kind of experimentation, Frankenstein style, is going on in secret, because of course you couldn't really conduct it, couldn't get away with conducting it in public. But you can believe it's going on in private out there. You know it is. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. Didn't get a chance to talk to Ma Bell, but I wanted to... I was going to ask her, but I suppose you can answer this question if you had an imaginary planet when you were a kid. And I got a joke for you, too.
No, I didn't. I had real playmates.
Okay. You know what has red hair and a big red nose and red feet and lives in a test tube?
No.
Bozo the clone.
Bozo the clone. Oh, that's awful, sir. That's awful. How about you? Same clone question. If you had a clone and you needed a liver or you were going to pass away, would you take your clone's liver?
If he was going to give it to me.
No, I didn't say anything about receiving in loving gift. I said, take.
Take it, huh?
Yeah. Well, it's either that or you die.
That's a hard question.
Come on now. You're beginning to really hurt. Your liver is on its last legs. You've got to make a decision.
I suppose once I started feeling the pain, I suppose I'd probably take it.
All right. A good, honest answer. Goodbye, clone. Hello, liver. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
This is Sam. I'll give my name as Sam.
Okay.
I've been listening to your program. It's very, very interesting. I do have to say that I have seen a flying saucer. And I did see this in my backyard, and I was with someone else when I did see it. It was it was just gigantic. It was about four times as big as my house.
That's big.
It's that big. And about 350 feet up in the air.
And so what did you do?
What did I do? Well, I didn't have a lot of time to do anything. This was about 30 seconds. It was in a flat second, you know, something that happens.
Did it beam you up and experiment on you medically?
No, I don't believe so. No, it didn't do anything like that. It was just hovering. And within a minute, it just took off.
Why do you think they do that?
Why do I think what does that?
Those saucers. Why do they do that? Just hovering.
Well, this wasn't really a saucer.
You said it was a saucer.
Well, the reason I said that is because, you know, people think that UFOs are saucers. And it wasn't really anything like that.
What was it like?
It was, like I said, it was three times as big as my home.
You said that. But yeah. If it wasn't a saucer, then what was it like?
It looked almost like a ship. You know, a ship that you find in the ocean. And it had...
Cool.
All types of antennas, you know, like big, huge antennas coming out of the top of it.
Yeah.
It had little portholes, light coming out of it.
Really?
And it was dark black and brown and...
Did you see any beings through the windows?
No, I did not.
That sounds like something from 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, above the water.
this was 350 feet up in the air. And it moved like nothing I've ever seen before. But, you know, there is one other thing that I have to say about it. There was no sound to it.
Right.
Nothing.
Zero.
Zero.
Well, I don't know what to say about that.
What was your experience?
What did it do, just fly away?
I would say, yeah. I couldn't say it flew away. It just moved so quickly.
Like that.
Exactly.
Well, I don't know what to say to that.
What did you see?
Well, I saw a triangular UFO that flew right over my head silently. It was...
What color was it?
Black. Black.
Black, brown?
Black, 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 black.
Okay. Was it humongous?
Humongous, yes.
How many feet up in the air?
About 150 feet above my head, and my wife was with me at the time. We both watched it.
Exactly.
Flew right over our head. Just like in Close Encounters. Blocked out the moon, the stars, and came directly over our heads. My one and only, and very close UFO experience. Just one. 51 years old, folks, and one experience. But it was close up and real. And so I guess I decided I would report one of those things. Coming up at the top of the hour, this is CBC.
You're listening to Coast AM with Art Bell. Listeners west of the Rockies can call Art toll-free by dialing 1-800-618-8255. If you're east of the Rockies, the toll-free number is 800-825-5033. If you've never called Art before, you may use the first-time caller line at area code 702-727-1222. And the wild card line is area code 702-727-1295. When you get through, let it ring, and Art will answer your call in order on the air. This is the CBC Radio Network.
Call Art Bell toll-free west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies at 1-800-825-5033. 1-800-825-5033. This is the CBC Radio Network.
Hey, hey, hey. From the high desert, good morning, everybody. I'm Art Bell. Great to be here. And we've got about 2 hours of open lines ahead, and then... Well, then I'm off to a undisclosed Mexican resort community where I'm going to have fun. All right, back to the lines we go. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Art?
Yes.
Yes, I'm wondering, when are you going to be on Dark Skies?
Oh, I'll tell you all about that.
I just love that show.
I do, too, but there's a bit of a glitch, I'm sorry to say, and let me explain on the air now. I talked earlier today with Bryce Abel of Dark Skies, and here's the deal, folks. They offered me a, what do you call it, a lead part, not a lead part, but just under the lead. It would be not like last time, not a cameo appearance, but a sub-lead or something like that? There would have been very, very serious scenes involved, and there would have been 2 days of shooting in a supporting role, my mom says. Supporting role. There would have been 2 days of shooting involved. It would have been next Tuesday and Thursday. Now, it's bad timing because I'm going, you know, I've had a trip planned to Mexico now for, oh, I don't know, quite a while. And I'm going to be gone for the balance of the week, back on Monday night, Tuesday morning. So obviously, having just taken some time off, to then have to turn around and go to Los Angeles on Tuesday and Thursday for the entire days and missing more days on the air, I didn't feel was appropriate, so I'm not going to do it. But I want to thank Bryce for the offer, and we will do it in a future episode. So obviously I would have missed a lot of next week. And I could have done it, but I would have been gone too much, and I'm already going to be gone enough as it is. You may recall I had a trip planned similar to the one I'm about to go on, and that was when Mona got sick. My wife got sick with a very serious asthma attack, so that trip got canceled. This one we're intent on going on, and so that is the story with Dark Sky. So they are going to recast the part of William Paley for this episode. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi there. I just wanted to talk to Art Bell.
That would be me.
Oh, okay. Oh, neat. Okay, it's pre-recorded. I thought that...
No, dear, it is not pre-recorded. You're live on the air now.
Oh, okay.
Don't listen to your radio. Turn it off.
Oh, I should turn it off. Okay. Yes. I just wanted to get your opinion on bullets, on ammunition. I think that a really solid place to start with, I know that we have way too many weapons being produced every single day, and I know that the country is, we all have the basic right, as granted to us in the Constitution, the right to bear arms and protect ourselves and our loved ones. And what my point is that I think that people should be able to keep guns in their houses or in their cars, albeit, if only to protect themselves. But I don't believe that people should be able to walk around in public, or have guns in any hidden fashion in any way. And I think that people who even possess guns in their own automobiles, I think they should have a special tag on their license plate or something so that people would know that this particular person's armed.
Well, I don't know how bright an idea that is, because if you had a notice on your car, wouldn't people then break into your car to get your gun when you were not in the car?
And then
you know what would happen? Well, why? I mean, there wouldn't be anybody in the car. So they'd break in and steal the gun because they'd know there's a gun there.
Well, it may be just a symbol of a permit to carry a weapon, whether it's in the car or
not, huh?
Or not. And also, I think that guns should be have to have safety lock or safety measure.
All right, that's right. They're called safeties. They have them.
Yeah, I think that you should have to have some type of a key or a code or something, or voice command.
The trouble with that is, if you need a gun, you need it quickly. And some sort of key or lock, I can't imagine fumbling around with that in the dark when you're trying to use a gun to defend your life. With regard to concealed weapons, putting a little advertisement on the outside of your car or a decal on your butt, whatever the case would be, would sort of defeat the idea of a concealed weapon. The idea of a concealed weapon is that it remain concealed so as to not disturb the public. A wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, Art. Somebody called you earlier tonight, and he said something about one of the first attorneys for O.J. Simpson. His name is Robert Kardashian.
Well, that's I suggested Kardashian. He was the one who was handed the bag or the suitcase.
Yes.
And he said, no, that was some other attorney.
Huh. Well, that's odd. Anyway, I was curious to know if you had a chance to use your telescope yet.
Yes, to look at the moon. And some other things, but not to see a hailbop. We've got a mountain range to the east that is between here and Las Vegas.
Oh,
and right now, hailbop is in the early morning or late morning sky toward the east, just 10 or 12 degrees above the horizon. And so I've got to wait until it gets high enough.
Yeah. Did you see the full moon by chance?
Well, actually, the full moon is not the best thing to view.
I don't know. I thought it was.
No, it
isn't. I could see like four
silver structures. Kind of look like buildings from an airplane, like those metal ones you see on a farm.
Yeah, hangars.
Yeah.
Hangers, yeah.
Yeah. What are those? Do you know? Or is
they're UFO hangars.
UFO hangars.
Uh-huh.
Now, I believe that because I could see a road, and there's a plateau.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like there's a tunnel going into it, and those buildings, they look like there's about, I'm just guessing, I'd say about 4 or 5 miles apart,
mm-hmm,
in a perfect square, each,
yes,
building, you know,
yeah,
perfectly lined up.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and then further to the north, on the, it'd be your left side looking at it from wherever you happen to be, you can see that road going up into there. And, yeah, there's a big...
It's where the Graves have their barracks.
Is that what the... Okay, that's, I believe it. I really do.
Sure.
Yeah, okay.
All right, sir, thank you very much for the call. Now, a half moon or even a quarter moon is better to look at. Full moons are not good for telescopes. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
How you doing, Art?
Fine.
This is Ken from Yakima, Washington.
Yes, sir.
The question I wanted to ask you, since it is truly open lines tonight, I was wondering, I know you're doing your broadcast from your home.
Always.
And I was wondering, how about you do that? Do you have a regular studio in your house then, and is it beamed from, I mean, like from satellite to your house and have somebody pick it up then?
Yes, I have a studio here in my home,
uh-huh,
a room devoted for that. Actually, my room is three things. It is a broadcast studio,
uh-huh,
it is a ham radio, and a computer station. So I've got all three here, and yes, the signal is beamed by satellite on what's called KU-band,
uh-huh,
from here to Oregon, and then to New Jersey, and then back up again, and all over the place.
I see. Well, could you give me some clues as to how like get started, or some books to read on it, or anything like that?
You know what? I don't think there are any books on it. I'll tell you how I got started.
Okay.
I just began hanging around a radio station until they got sick of me.
Oh, I see.
Now, there are broadcast schools you can go to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't put a lot of stock in them. I guess they're okay.
Oh, I see.
So I just, you know, I hung around till they got sick of me and they gave me a job.
Oh, hey, that works.
Well, it worked for me.
Yeah. Okay, thanks a lot. I appreciate your time, and you have a great show, and good luck on your vacation. And if I was you, I wouldn't go, since you say that you have such a past with, have such a past.
An absolute history. I mean, you can almost depend on the fact that something of great magnitude is going to occur in the next few days while I'm on vacation. I mean, it's automatic.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. And if I was you, I'd just stay home with your mother and visit. But
well, we've been doing that for a week.
Yeah, well, in any case, good luck and have fun.
Thank you. It always happens when I go on vacation. Now, I don't really understand the mechanics of that. Quantum mechanics, probably. But something either tragic or big in some way always occurs. I'm just used to it. Now, maybe this will be the exception, and it'll be nice and quiet. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Oh, hi. This is Kate from Dallas.
Hi, Kate.
And I have a solution to your clone question.
All right.
Well, if you clone someone, then it stands to reason that tomorrow they're not going to be an adult size, so they're going to have to go through the growth process.
Absolutely, yes.
So you would, unless you're, I don't know, I guess you could stick them in a closet or in a lab somewhere and not know who they are, but otherwise you're going to have this, basically a child that you have to raise. Someone's going to have to raise the child before you could basically harvest anything, at least to a reasonable age.
That's a really horrible word.
Exactly.
Harvest.
I agree.
Uh-huh.
But I don't think that anyone could logically do something like that. I mean, it just wouldn't make a lot of sense. Maybe if you're a child, if you had a child that was born that needed an organ or something like that, someone might consider that. I wouldn't personally.
In other words, you would not take from your clone.
No, no way. No, but an interesting thing is, I wonder if people who have, I don't know, learning disabilities or other problems growing up, maybe they had a really rotten childhood or something like that, I wonder, mm-hmm, if they think that they could take their clone and raise their clone better than their parents did, so basically they're raising themselves, and see if there's a better outcome.
That's a very interesting scenario. I would think that history would tend to repeat itself and that even though you would set out to raise your clone with all the benefits that you didn't have and all the love you didn't have or whatever it is you missed in your life, you would end up repeating the same history and doing to your clone as was done to you. Raising the question, do we really ever learn? Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art. This is Richard in Kelso, Washington.
Yes, sir.
Art, I have to apologize to you. I can't rest until I set the record straight. I called last week and told you about an article about cattle mutilations in GQ magazine.
Yes.
And I gave you a bum steer, pun intended. The first half of the article seemed to promote Linda Howe's ideas, and I had just read the first half of the article, and I went back the next day, and it was a hatchet job. They centered around Linda Howe. They did an extensive interview with her, the author did.
Right.
But he completely turned around the second half of the article and insinuated that nothing Linda says can be believed because she doesn't give her tapes and books away, which is like saying don't believe anything a doctor tells you unless it's free.
Just one question.
Yeah.
Is GQ magazine free?
No. No, I read it in the library.
Oh, I understand.
So
that, what I'm saying is, do they sell GQ magazine or do they give it away?
Oh no, they sell it.
They sell it.
Yeah.
Well, gee, I guess you could say the same thing about them then, huh?
Yeah. One interesting thing I learned in this article was that, did you know Linda Howe was in the Miss America pageant?
No.
Yeah.
No, really?
Yes. Yeah.
I'm going, well, of course, she's a very beautiful woman.
Yeah, I've met her. She's very, very attractive.
Very attractive,
woman.
Oh, yes. I'm going to ask her about that.
I was wondering if you could get her Miss America swimsuit picture on your website.
I will ask her.
You bet
I'll ask her next time I talk to her.
Your audience would love to see it.
Well, me too. All right, I'll ask. Thank you. You've got to be kidding. You've got to be kidding. Linda Howe was in the Miss America pageant. What, representing Pennsylvania? Cool. I will definitely ask her, and if she has a swimsuit photograph or some memorabilia from that time, sure we'll put it up there. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Oh, how you doing, Art?
I'm doing good. Yes.
The UFO you saw, was it silent?
Absolutely, yes.
Was it about the size of a football field or bigger?
Well, about 150 feet or more from point to point on the triangle.
Oh, wow. That could be like a silent Vulcan.
Could be.
Yeah.
That's it?
Well, I wanted to say that that's extremely rare in the United States to see one of those.
No, I thought so.
Yeah.
Well, the only time I ever saw one.
300 so in Great Britain, though.
Do you?
Yeah, and now they had a report in Great Britain a couple years back.
I was there
like
last year.
Project Blue Book.
Yeah.
And the head guy there determined that they were a threat to national security.
Really?
And the next day he was transferred.
No figures. All right, sir. Well, I appreciate the call. Thank you. Project Blue Book in Great Britain. See, they always get transferred. The evidence always gets confiscated. At the last minute, men in black run in and take it. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Bart. How are you?
I'm fine.
I'm in Wilmington, California.
You are?
Yes, I am.
Have you seen any 57 Chevys falling from the sky?
No. The worst thing about that, though, is the story's making its rounds around the city.
Is it?
It is. It's,
all right. Now, what, you know, here's what I heard. That something that actually a 1950s vintage automobile fell from the sky
right.
Somewhere there near Wilmington, and
indeed.
That they cordoned off the whole area with many times the size of a cordon of a typical crime scene. And wouldn't let anybody in. Now, what have you heard?
Apparently it happened near the docks because we're primarily at the harbor area.
I'm sorry, it happened where?
Near the docks where the ships come in.
Really?
Yes. And that area is kind of, you know, really, people don't live down there. but a lot of longshoremen apparently saw something, because it was all around the longshoremen hall the other day, and I heard people talking about it in the market this morning. Well, actually yesterday morning, and I hear you talk about it, and I realize it's important because Art Bell mentioned it.
Well, I got a fax which came through my publisher from a fellow in Oregon who knows the people down there, I guess, who saw it or somehow were involved with it. This is something I'm going to have to follow up on when I get back. But you're telling me the word is out there and circulating down in the Wilmington area.
Right. We're about 25 miles south of downtown L.A., and I've lived here my whole life, and we've always had UFO activity.
Well, can you hold on?
Oh, no problem.
All right. Stay where you are, and we'll come back to you after the break. 1950s vintage automobiles falling from the sky. Not your everyday occurrence. We'll be right back.
This is TRN and CBC, Talk Radio Network and Chancellor Broadcasting Company, home of Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Art Bell is taking calls on the Wildcard Line at 702-727-1295. That's 702-727-1295. First-time callers can reach Art Bell at 702-727-1222. 702-727-1222. Now, here again, Art Bell.
Well, once again, here I am, and we're going to scoot back to our caller with reference to this car that appears to have fallen from the sky, or at least that is the story. Somebody just wrote me a fax and said, the 50s vintage automobile that fell on Wilmington just has to be an Oldsmobile Rocket 88. I don't know about that, but it is, what are people saying? I mean, do they identify the kind of car at all, or?
They say it's just a 50s car. Everyone has a different story. Obviously, you know, when people tell one person it turns into another car, I've heard primarily a Chevy.
Figures. Probably a 57 Chevy.
More than likely, yeah. But as I had mentioned, where it happened at is down at the shipping docks.
Right.
And Wilmington is what they call the heart of the harbor.
Right.
And pretty desolate down there at night. I mean, there's maybe some people working, but apparently it did happen because it's making the rounds.
And, oh, yeah. Have you seen UFOs? In
yes,
there?
I have.
You have.
I've grown up here my whole life. I'm 33, and one time when I was 15, I did see one hovering over our backyard.
You know, you almost got to wonder if they didn't find, like, some couple in lip lock in the back seat.
Listening to Elvis.
Yeah. What a story. I'm telling you, it's getting to the point where nothing surprises. 57 Chevys. Out of the sky, nothing surprises me anymore.
Well, this is the same city that has a restaurant called the Chupacabra restaurant.
You do?
Yes. I'll send you a picture of it.
You have a Chupacabra restaurant?
Well, it's not on the menu, but it's the name. They have a drawing of them on the side of the building.
You're kidding.
Chupacabra restaurant, steak, fries, pastrami.
Well, you know, it's hard to tell about the nature of pastrami. Thank you very much, sir.
You're welcome, Mark.
Take care. All right. There at the center of the present controversy, Wilmington. We'll be into that next week, believe me. A 1950s vintage car falling from the sky. Anybody have any thoughts on that one? So there apparently is something to it. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, Art Bell.
Hi.
Okay, let me grab my notes here.
All right.
First of all, I would like to say tonight, with Ron Goldman's dad, I would like to say to him, congratulations. I enjoyed his views of the whole trial throughout ever since this started, and to wish him luck for the future, and definitely hope everything goes good with that. And second, on January 23rd, there was supposed to be a special event happen. I think you had a couple psychics on like 6 months ago that predicted a major event to happen then. And I know that there was an earthquake down in Argentina, like a 6.4.
That's true.
And was wondering if that's part of the chain of fire that's supposed to start. Or,
well,
you know,
yeah, there's a circle of fire, which goes up the west coast of the U.S. To the Orient, down near the Philippine Islands, and then back around to South America and on up again. And this is where earthquakes occur.
Okay, there you go. And two more things. The MCI girl, which you love, I think she is the star in the movie Uncle Buck. And second, and finally, Leanne Rimes is just one of the greatest country stars ever. If you get a chance, go see her and possibly meet her, because she's a very personable girl.
All right, thank you.
Yep.
See you later. I met my country star. It was Crystal Gayle. Wild card line, you're on the air. Hello. Hello?
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 Hi.
Hi?
This is Dan in Denver.
This is Art in Pahrump.
How are you?
I'm okay.
I have a question.
All right. I might have an answer. Maybe not.
Yeah, you may not. I'm confused about this O.J. Simpson thing.
What confuses you?
I don't understand the difference between the criminal trial and the civil trial.
Well, if you lose the criminal trial, you go to jail or the electric chair, or you get a little shot that sends you away.
The defense for the civil trial should have been not guilty. Period. Thank you.
That what, sir?
Then not guilty, because he was found not guilty. So how can they find him liable for this one? I don't understand that.
You don't? Well, that's the nature of civil litigation. In other words, you can sue anybody for anything. I could sue you because I don't like the sound of your voice.
Well, that makes sense.
See?
Well,
it may not make sense. It may not make sense, but it is the way things are.
Well, that makes sense because that's the way they are.
And I don't much like your voice, and I may sue you. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
See you later. Yes, anybody can sue anybody for anything, and you can then cause the other person to have to defend themselves. I happen to agree with a guest I had on the other day who thinks that losers should pay, and I think that would prevent a lot of frivolous suits of that sort. If the loser had to pay, you know, court costs, the other guy's costs to defend himself, the whole thing, I've always thought that. Loser ought to pay. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Good evening. Good morning. How are you?
Both of those. I'm fine.
I am calling from Seattle. My name is Ed.
Yes, Ed.
A question for you, and you'll know why now that you've heard where I'm from. You said recently, I happen to have missed the show until all the time. You had a guest on, I think, a few days ago who's predicting something happening on the West Coast soon. Can you give me a little more details on that? Dale, a fellow named Dale or Davis or...
Major Ed Dames?
Dames, indeed. I'm sorry.
No, he wasn't predicting anything for the West Coast. He was predicting for the whole world.
Oh. And what was he predicting, or is he not?
If you will listen later this week, you will hear a repeat of that program.
Okay, but
He was predicting a plant pathogen which will destroy all green things on Earth, including whatever green is in Seattle.
Well, you know how green this city is.
I do. So
to
be like
this, what was the thing you were referring to that you thought might possibly happen while you're away, because things always happen?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm not referring to anything specific. It's just that every time I go away, something always happens.
So what kind of things have happened in the past?
Well, the raid on Waco, for example. I went on vacation, the raid on Waco. Remember that?
Yeah, sure.
That occurred while I was away. This last time I went on vacation, you know how I talk about odd and weird things, right?
Oh, indeed.
They announced they found life on Mars from a Mars rock. They announced that while I was on vacation. That was a big deal. Whatever it is, then there were several other instances. I mean, every single, over the years, whenever I've gone on vacation, something major occurs.
Well, good luck to us all, then. Have a wonderful trip, and we're going to have a wonderful week.
Thank you. Take care. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Will, WLS, Madison, Wisconsin.
Hello, Will.
How are you, sir? I do hope you have a very enjoyable vacation.
Thank you.
It is kind of a little bit interesting that that nice man has predicted earthquakes. Hopefully you're not near the coast there in Mexico.
Well, that's exactly where they're predicted for, actually.
Say, by the way, that somebody called me from California. I used to rebuild 59 Cadillacs. Did over 30 of them in my life. I wished I had some of them now.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, claims that it's a 57 Cadillac Eldorado that has in the front seat an ET, and it's loaded with hemp, marijuana, and bamboo. I don't know if that's true or not, but it's rather interesting.
Well, that might be more believable if it had been a vehicle from the 60s rather than the 50s. Wildcard Line, you're on the air.
Ah, all right, Bus Driver Dave, retired Bus Driver Dave up here in Seattle.
What's up?
I got a couple of questions for you.
Fire away.
One, are you going to have a rebroadcast of yesterday's show later on this week?
Don't know.
Oh.
Maybe.
The other question, remember that Marine Corps joke I told you about a year and a half ago to tell your mom and your dad? Did you ever get a chance to tell them?
I don't remember.
Can I tell to you real quick? It's a real claim. He'll get the good house keeping seal.
All right.
Young Marine Boot was walking down the hallway in Marines, and it was dimly lit, and he passed this lieutenant. And the lieutenant said, "Hey, mister, don't you believe in saluting officers?" And Boot said, "Oh, sorry, sir. I didn't see your rank." So he gave him a snappy salute, and the officer said, "By the way, mister, there's no hallways in the Marine Corps. They're all passageways." And Boot said, "Yes, sir." And gave him another snappy salute and started walking off, singing, "From the passageways of Montezuma." Now, isn't that Marine Corps logic?
Yes, it is. But things are as officers tell you they are, no matter what service. You just say, "Yes, sir." West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, good morning, you are. This is Pat from Hicksville, Long Island.
Hicksville, Long Island.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I know your mom's there. I was wondering if she likes Rosie O'Donnell.
I don't know.
And also, I want to give a big hug and a warm smile to your mom.
Okay, thank you. That's nice.
And let's see here. On the left of me is my Levitron. On the right is listening to Art Bell.
Is your Levitron doing its thing?
Yes, it is. I've been able to only get it to go for about 2 minutes 45 seconds. I was wondering if it actually does go further than that.
Oh yes,
it does.
Yes, there have been people who have achieved flights of up to 5 minutes in states of vacuum, even longer than that, because it is the air friction that slows it. Now the perpetuator is coming.
Right, I heard it's $80.
Don't call them because it is not yet available.
No, I know that. I checked out the website thing you had on your website, and
right.
I checked it out, and I know that they said that you could start ordering it now, but they won't start shipping till after.
Now, see, they haven't even told me that.
Oh.
So maybe they're just taking names.
Yes, they are at this time, yes. Let's see here. I wrote down something. Oh, I got a picture, if you want, of the Stealth in Pasadena. I can send it to AOL.com for you.
I'd love that.
Okay, I'll send you a JPG there.
All right, that's Art Bell at AOL.com.
Oh, of course, And let's see here. I wanted to know, have you ever heard of, Alex Bennett? He was at WPLJ-FM in New York.
That is a familiar name.
Yeah, he's the one that started me on late night radio and when I was young and impressionable. And now that I'm just turned 40,
Well, you're still young and impressionable.
Yes, because I believe everything I hear on your show.
Well, in that case, you've got a problem.
I know, and it's causing me a lot of problems with my friends because I'm not saying the sky's falling to them, but I'm saying, hey, keep your eyes open. Something may be happening.
Well, you certainly want to keep your eye out for 57 Chevys. That ruined your day. All right, thank you very much for the call. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
Yes, can you hear me now?
I could hear you before.
Oh, okay. I wanted to find out about the Billy Meyer, the book, the Pleiadian Mission, and
what do you want? What do you want to know?
I want to know. I'm sure you spoke of it before on your program, and I've just missed it. If maybe any of your remote viewers found or believe that it's legit.
Never asked.
Never asked.
No. Nope.
It was a curious book, and I didn't know whether or not to take it seriously.
Well, I've got a really good Billy Meyer photograph, as a matter of fact, right in front of me, from Randolph Winters. And it's one of the best Billy Meyer photographs ever taken, and I have it right in front of me at all times. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
How you doing there, Art?
I'm doing.
This is Frank up in North Carolina.
Yes, sir.
Thinking about what's going to be the next thing that's going to be driving us crazy.
Who knows? I think automobiles from the mid-50s dropping out of the sky.
Well, that's another thing, but all these people going around now are going to be telling us how glad they are that the O.J. trial's over. We're going to have to put up with that for a while.
Well, not too much. I mean, I'm not hearing a lot of it tonight. Maybe we're a sort of a refuge of you know, an oasis, so to speak, in the desert of radio from all of that, but I imagine that's what everybody's talking about.
Well, you got a great show, Art. We appreciate you.
Thank you. We have a different program. Generally, we don't talk about what everybody else is talking about. Frankly, I don't know what there is to say about this O.J. thing anyway. What the hell are you going to say? This mitigates things a little bit, but it doesn't really, in my opinion, I don't jump up and down and say, see, justice. This is not justice for the death of two people. If that's what it is, no matter how you feel, whether you think he's guilty or innocent or whatever, if this, you know, it's being touted by the other side as some sort of justice, and I wouldn't go that far. It mitigates a terrible injustice just a little bit, but it doesn't suddenly supply justice. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
I'm on the air. Okay. How are you doing there?
I'm doing.
Oh, the best of the Bell family, the whole clan there, your mom.
Thanks.
I did want to ask her a question about when you were a child, what was more fascinating to you with nature? Was it the skies, the desert, the forest, the ocean seas? Or could you remember?
At what age?
Well, my child was 5, and since he was born, he was fascinated by light, so he has a collection of flashlights. So I would say 3, 4, and 5.
Well, flashlights were cool, but tame. I tended toward things that were sort of dangerous.
Yeah. But earth-wise, I mean, you know, I mean, light or the skies or, just, you know, something like... Because your wife is very nature-like, and yourself, you're out there in the desert,
true.
And you like the dark skies.
True.
So I was wondering, did that start at an earlier age? One of my questions.
I think fascination with things of this kind began at an early age, yes.
Okay. I'll make sure I'll keep up the good work with my little boy then. I was wondering, if at all possible, with the shuttles, the Apollos and the marinas, everything that are in the sky, is there any way you can find out more about what each and every one represents or what effect they can have with our weather, this undergoing these major weather changes, if they have any effect, if this is sort of like...
Well, what happens is, you see, every time they launch a shuttle, it goes blasting through the atmosphere into outer space, right?
Yes.
It obviously punches a hole. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're sort of like a balloon. It goes, and some of our good weather escapes into space. And we get worse, and the weather worsens and worsens and worsens. And you've got to admit, the weather's been getting worse, right?
Yeah.
And there have been more shuttle flights, right?
Yeah.
So need I say more?
No.
All right, there you are. Thank you very much for the call, and have a good morning. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello?
This is Jim from Lenore City, Tennessee. This is Art Bell.
It is. Hi, Jim.
I wanted to make a comment about the UFO thing. what on you, the Tonight what? Show several years back.
Yes.
I can't think of her name.
Well, you called me, Jim.
I know. I can't forget.
Now you're blanking out, huh? On the Tonight Show, Jim.
Yes, it was on
several
the Tonight Show.
Several years ago.
The actress, she got on there, she talked to Jimmy Carter and asked him blank about the Area 51.
Well, Jimmy Carter saw a UFO, you know.
Yeah, they said that too. And he also saw, Shirley MacLaine, who it was, on the Tonight Show, and she saw, President Jimmy Carter said everything that we suspect about Area 51 was true.
Well,
more.
Yeah, but you know what? You know what I think? I think that if there is a great secret that is held from presidents and only given to certain presidents, they would not have told Jimmy Carter. Because when he ran for office, he promised that he would open up all the UFO files. Whatever it was, there was to be told. Jimmy Carter, when he was running, said he would tell it. But then once he got in there, he didn't tell it.
So what
do we conclude? We conclude that either A, he was silenced, or B, they never told him.
Well, supposedly when Shirley MacLaine was telling Shirley all this, that if you tell anybody I told you this, I'll deny I said it. But really? That was the end of it, I think.
Mm. Well, I appreciate your call.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Personally, I think they would have not told Jimmy Carter a thing. Now, would you have told Jimmy Carter anything? Hmm? You know, this is in celebration of the falling 57 Chevy or whatever it was. Here we go. A place where there's a restaurant called the Chupacabra.
They had him in Chupacabra. Tacos on tequila. He was dancing bella mada. He doesn't know where he has come from. Making all the Mexicanos looking like a dum-dum. They say that he's a monkey. I think the whole story's just a little funky.
There's a monkey on the street and they call the Chupacabra. 4 feet tall like a mutant chihuahua. In Mexico City, Puerto Rico, Nicaragua. Hey, Chupacabra. Hay un criatura que se llama Chupacabra. Es muy bello como el Pini Pablo Mama.
You're listening to Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. Listeners west of the Rockies can call Art toll-free by dialing 1-800-618-8255. If you're east of the Rockies, the toll-free number is 800-825-5033. If you've never called Art before, you may use the first-time caller line at area code 702-727-1222. And the wild card line is area code 702-727-1295. When you get through, let it ring, and Art will answer your call in order on the air. This is the CBC Radio Network.
West of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies at 1-800-825-5033. 1-800-825-5033. This is the CBC Radio Network.
It is, and this will be my last hour for a few days. I'm headed down south for a while, folks. Gonna relax. Party a bit. Do whatever. Have fun. All right, back to the lines. Open lines, anything that's on your mind is fair game. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, good morning, Art.
Good morning, sir.
Ed DeWine again in Tennessee.
All right.
Enjoyed your mom this morning and everything. But I got a what if for you.
All right.
On this car that fell from the sky.
Sure.
What if it had been a 1947 model?
Well.
Does that ring a bell?
Of course, yes, of course.
With Roswell?
Yes.
Okay.
What if it had been? Well, then everybody would suggest it would have something to do with Roswell, but it wasn't.
You know, you wonder how, if this really happened, when I first heard it, I thought, yeah, probably somebody brought it back.
Well, I mean, let's face facts here. It could be some sort of time travel something or another.
Well, maybe so. I don't know. But anyway, have a good morning.
Right, thank you. I mean, who knows what it is? But it's the kind of thing that you know I will look into. Could it be? Yeah, it could be. I mean, I had earlier information in the evening from somebody, and then I had a follow-up call here about an hour ago from somebody in Wilmington. And I guess the story is making the rounds in Wilmington. I'll confirm something's going on. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi. Hello? Going once. Going twice, gone. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art Bell.
Yes, sir.
I love your show. This is Bill calling from Denver, Colorado.
Hi, Bill.
Remember a few years ago that humming noise that was in Taos, New Mexico?
Of course.
There's something in Denver just like that now.
The Denver hum?
Yeah, the Denver hum.
It's probably under the airport.
Under the airport?
Yeah, DIA.
Why do you say that, Art?
Well, I don't know, because everything else is under DIA.
A lot of stuff going on out there, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, the station that you're carried on, KHOW,
right.
Last week had several callers call in and ask Tom Martino, he's a troubleshooter, and ask him to investigate that.
Well, what are you hearing? I mean, what are people in Denver hearing?
It's like a generator constantly going.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know what to say about that. That is intriguing. I will try and follow up. Was there anything written in the local newspaper about it?
Not in the Rocky Mountain News. I don't read the Denver Post, but not in the news. But I'm listening to it right now. It's just a hum. It's but it's like a...
Can you tell the direction that it appears coming from?
Yes, I can. It appears to be coming from the southeast. Because I'm in northeast Denver, but it's coming from the southeast.
Well, maybe something is chewing its way to the surface.
I'm thinking there's some underground drilling or something, but then I heard your program on the HARP.
Yes.
And I was wondering if there's some kind of waves that government experiment or something that's
anything
going through.
Possible, I don't know. We'll see if we can get some more reports from Denver, all right?
Thank you very much. I like your show.
Right, thank you. And as I said, maybe something is chewing its way to the surface in Denver. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi. Yeah, I think you're right. Oh, this is WKXY, Sarasota. I think someplace there's a time traveler who thinks his car has been stolen. Don't you?
Oh, well, who knows?
Yeah, it probably just fell through a straight place in the time warp. We can find out more when we know what the plates are on it.
It would be helpful, but you know they're not going to tell us.
Oh.
Well, I mean, they cordoned off the area, the story goes.
Okay, well, now the more important things. Do
yes.
Mom and Comet have an understanding?
Yes. So far, it's stay out of my way, and I'll stay out of yours.
No, each other's space.
Well, yeah, Comet is not yet used to other people.
I know Cat.
And he's afraid, and so he runs under the bed and stays there.
Well, and then she respects his space.
Oh, sure.
Good. Okay, love you guys.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Take care, yeah. Comet, so far, is... kind of a one-person cat. Comet is my wild cat. And he's still, I wouldn't say wild because I can hold him. He'll let me hold him or he'll sit on my lap. But whenever another person of any sort is around, he looks at them like, oh my God, you probably eat cats, don't you? And then he takes off. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, Art, how you doing?
Okay.
Great show. This is Chris out in Denver.
Yes.
I don't know anything about the hum, so I'm not calling about that. But I kind of make some of my coworkers here at work listen to the show a couple times a week, and they think you're kind of strange.
I am.
I've been standing up for you until last
night. They're right. I am strange.
Yeah, I know they're right, but I was standing up for you until you mentioned that thing last hour about the UFO hangars on the moon. You're going to have to explain that to me if you could.
Well, I just didn't disagree with the caller, that's all he was saying. That's why I said, yeah. You know, turn your radio off, sir.
Okay.
I'd appreciate that.
And the other thing I want to ask
you about... You've got to learn, you've still got the radio on, sir.
I don't know how you can hear that. Is that
better? I guess I have good hearing. Can you turn that off? can you turn it off for me?
Yeah, they're turning it off right now. Is that better?
No, I can still hear it, so I'm going to have to leave the line, but I appreciate the call. Now, the deal is that you've got to learn about my sense of humor. I say things to people with a straight face, which I intend to be humor, and if you don't know me, you won't know that. But, I mean, what else am I supposed to say? I mean, hangers on the moon. Give me a break. I don't think so. I've been looking at the moon. I haven't seen them. I've got a nice telescope. I can actually look down inside craters. And I haven't seen any, so I just agreed with him, that's all. And I was doing it in dry humor, but you may not have caught that. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art. How are
yes.
you doing?
Okay.
Good. I'm up here in Davidson, Saskatchewan.
Saskatchewan, yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I was thinking, you had a lady on a little while back talking about a disease that the Army caught while they were in Iran during Desert Storm.
Yes.
Okay. Have they looked into the people that came after, like the oil riggers? They cleaned all that mess up over there.
That's right.
Were they infected?
That is a very, very good question, and I don't have the answer, but the next time I have Joyce Riley on, I will ask.
Yeah, I was just wondering, because, you know, if they didn't bring the equipment back, then... there was a reason for that, because it was contaminated, and if it is contaminated, then these fellas would have caught it too.
Well, I'll tell you what I do know, thank you. I know that they had a lot of lung problems, which would be expected from all the smoke that was in the air. I think there was not a bunch of chemical dispersal that I'm aware of in Kuwait, and that's where the oil fires were set, you'll recall, as Saddam withdrew his forces in haste. So I don't know how much chemical or biological exposure there was in Kuwait, in the oil fields, but there certainly was a lot of lung disease. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Chuck in Kansas City.
Hello, Chuck.
I was listening to, I think, one of your old pals, Mike Murphy, the other day.
Oh, yes.
And he read the new edict for the emergency broadcast service.
Yes.
On the air. Have you heard or had a chance to see that yet?
No, I haven't, because that applies to people that work at radio stations, and I don't work at one. So what was the substance?
Maybe one of your board ops or something will send you one, be kind enough to send you one. The wording that he read directly from it on the new one that took effect January the 1st said that part of it, and I'm paraphrasing because I can't remember exactly, but it said that situations in which the emergency broadcast system might be activated included, but were not limited to, imminent nuclear attack, asteroid strike, or widespread terrorism.
Well, all of that would make sense.
That's true, but I don't think asteroid strike was in the last one. I always have to kind of wonder, is this more of that preparatory stuff?
I think that it is, and I there's something obviously going on with asteroids. Movies, fictional literature, real-life reports of asteroids beginning to get closer and closer, more likely to strike. They're telling us you're more likely to be killed in your lifetime by an asteroid than you are a car. Did you know that?
I hadn't heard that.
It's true.
Huh. Okay. Well, thank you very much. You
right.
might get a chance to see that sometime.
All right. Thank you. So the new EBS dictates, as of January 1, include the possibility of an asteroid headed toward Earth. Isn't that something? You're going to be hearing a lot about asteroids in the coming month or two. Believe me. And I still can't help but wonder how the people at NBC, it is NBC that's running that, feel about the headlines about the asteroid, the near-Earth asteroid they're still not sure about. They must just be jumping up and down in not-so-silent joy over the news. Because imagine what it's going to do for that movie. Or was it... Wild Card Line, you're on the air. Hi.
Yeah, how you doing, Art?
I'm doing fine.
Yeah, I figured from the sounds of things. This is Andy in Fairview Heights, listening to you on 880 WINU.
Where is that?
That's in Highland, Illinois, which is it's east of St. Louis, I don't know, by about 15 miles. Or
very good.
Something like that.
All right.
I'd have to look at a map. But it gives me good signal here. And at least they're doing the whole 5 hours, which is more than I can say for some stations, especially the big ones. 890, they took off your dreamland. See, I have friends in Columbus, Ohio. You know, they're dying for...
No, 890 never was carrying dreamland.
Oh, really?
Right. They have yet to add it.
Say, you haven't heard anything on Michael Markham, I take it.
That's Mike Markham, or Madman Markham.
Right.
No, but I'll be checking on that one, too, when I get back.
Is there a way that I could find out from you how to find him? He's in Kansas City, right?
Outside Kansas City.
Okay, well, it's about 5 hours from here, I think. Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got a pretty good camera. I'd really like to talk to this guy myself. Get some schematics or something. I'll try my machine, whatever it takes.
You mean while he's still around to give them?
Right.
You know, I would also like to see a schematic of what he has built. That's a good question, and I'll see if I can get a hold of him.
That sounds like
And if I can get a good schematic, I'll post it up on the website.
Wow, that sounds even better.
How's that?
Yeah.
All right.
John, nice talking to you.
Good talking to you, sir. Take care. Yeah, Mike Markham. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is John in Chico, California.
Hi, John.
Hi. I have kind of a mundane question for you, but...
It's all right.
Yeah, I guess it just had to do with all the reminiscing that you were doing earlier in the show with your mother.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering how you came to settle in a place called Pahrump, Nevada, and what it's like to live there. What's the topography? How big is it?
It's about 23,000 population now, so it's grown tremendously. It is very serious desert. It's not far from Death Valley. I came to live here because I originally lived for almost a decade in Las Vegas, which is about 65 miles from here. And Las Vegas got to be too big for me. It was it's now well over a million people.
Yeah.
And that's a big city.
Yeah, it is. It is.
So this looked like the closest, and I commuted for a long time between here and Las Vegas.
Do you have a high unemployment rate in Pahrump?
No. Nevada has a very generally low unemployment rate, and I believe that Nevada, as a general rule, has the best economy in the nation.
Hmm. Okay, well, I just wanted to try to get a picture of where you were, really.
Well, if you can close your eyes and see real desert, high mountains, and lots of cactus, that's us.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks a lot, Art.
Take care. Oh, we're out here in the middle of the Sirius Desert. Or as it was put on Strange Universe, my neighbors are lizards and I forget what else. Coyotes. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Don in Campbell, California, and I would just like to say to a lady that called about an hour ago or so about the Constitution giving us a certain right. In her case, it was the right to keep and bear arms.
Yes.
Actually, the Constitution doesn't give you that right. That right exists before the Constitution, and if you read the amendments carefully in the Bill of Rights, they don't give you rights. They recognize the rights that are pre-existent. But I was thinking that you probably went to the William Jefferson Clinton School of Constitutional Law. That's where she got an idea like that. But, you know, the other thing is, I wonder what, as far as concealed firearms go, and you made this point last night, that, you know, in states where this has been tried, and over 24 states now it has been tried, crime rates have gone down, and gone down more than they have on a national basis.
That is correct. And I think my guest made the point best of all. He said, the way to know that it is a success is that you're not hearing anything. Because
right.
if it was a failure, and if the the gun control nuts could point to failures and bodies in the streets and that sort of thing,
right.
you'd be hearing about it all over the place, and you're not.
That's exactly right. And back in Florida, when they first started the whole idea, and back in 1987, I think it was about 10 years ago,
right.
there weren't a lot of predictions in the state legislature that this was going to result in bloodshed
yes.
and everything else.
Yes.
And it was going to be like a Dodge City situation.
That's
but
right.
I've talked to the Florida Secretary of State myself, and I can tell you that there is no big crime problem over there. And you can read the studies, and then you've made the point before. So anyway, thanks for your help on that.
Well, thank you for your call, and you're absolutely right, and so is my guest. Take care, sir. That's right. You would have heard all kinds of things about it by now, but you haven't. And that certainly has meaning, lots of meaning. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Oh, how you doing?
I'm doing.
I want to make sort of a statement and a comment about Ed Gein.
Sure.
I guess, or the question, I said, a question and a comment. The question is, if the he basically is saying the world is going to end in 1 year, why does he need to make so much money, thousands of dollars on his classes?
Well, actually, now he's selling the videotapes, as far as I know, very reasonably. So his classes have been booked through 1998. But, I mean, when you think about that, most of the people booked won't make it.
And also, I've heard you make comments about having stock and all that. Why do you need to have stock if you think the war is going to end in a year?
Well, on the other hand, why not? What difference does it make, right?
I'm just wondering.
Well, if the world doesn't end, the market's probably going to go up, and I'll make money. That's the answer.
Sure. Here's my comment.
In other words, I'm hedging my bet. Hold on. We'll come back to you after the break. This is CBC.
This is TRN and CBC, Talk Radio Network and Chancellor Broadcasting Company, home of Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Taking calls on the wildcard line at 702-727-1295. That's 702-727-1295. First-time callers can reach Art Bell at 702-727-1222. 702-727-1222. Now, here again, Art Bell.
Get myself in the mood for Mexico. Morning, everybody. I'm Art Bell. And you're listening to the CBC Radio Network. All right, back to it we go, final segment, and thank you for waiting. You're back on the air.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes, I guess my comment is this. I believe that Ed James is absolutely correct when he states that we have a major environmental crisis today.
So do I.
My God, we have 12,000 cheetahs left in the wild. We have the rhino on the verge of extinction. They say that it used to be one species every 500 years going extinct. Now it's about 500
a year, most of them in the rainforest. My fear is that this man is profiteering off of something that when 1 year comes and goes, a lot of people are going to say, oh, well, we're going to tie into the environmental movement. It's all hoax. I'm not going to believe any of it anymore.
Yeah, I know.
And that's my major fear. The environmental movement has been so maligned by those who would profiteer off of exploitation.
Well, some of it is the fault of the environmentalists themselves because they have, many times, gone off the deep end. I agree with you. We have a severe environmental problem. But some of the criticism is justified because they've gone too far. And they've many times picked up causes that were frankly asinine. And that does their cause harm because there is a real environmental problem.
There is a real environmental problem. Paul Ehrlich, who is a professor at Stanford University, has recently written a book. I'm trying to remember what the name of it is. But anyway, it's about the rash of anti-environmental supposed science that's out there saying, well, there's really nothing going on, there's nothing wrong. These scientists are paid and bought for by big business to make everybody feel, well, there's really no crisis at all. But, you know, and just consider this. We have almost 6 billion people on the planet. They say in 30 years, the population is going to double. Now, right now,
We're
cutting down forests for the 6 billion people. We're extincting species. What's it going to be like in 30 years when we double the population?
Well, we're like the frog, thank you, in the slowly boiling pot of water. And because we have such a mortal life, it's so short, we don't think in great leaps ahead. But this caller is absolutely right. In another 30 years, if you could jump out suddenly, time travel, and look at 30 or 50 years from now, I think you'd be very disappointed indeed. But a lot of people don't care because they're not going to be around. It's the nature of the human being to do that, to not care. That's just the way it is. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
I enjoyed your show with your mother.
Thank you.
Tonight. I usually call and joke around with you and have something off the cuff, not too serious to say. And tonight I got something serious to ask you and your listeners.
All right.
The day after the Super Bowl, my mother went into the hospital to have a biopsy done.
Mm-hmm.
And today is the day that we find out the results. So I'd like everybody in your listening audience to say a prayer for my mom.
I sure will.
And hope it works out okay. I'm really worried about it.
Well, I hope it works out okay, too. Those are always terribly stressful times. I've gone through it myself. My mom has gone through it. Her sister has gone through it. And I don't know of any family that hasn't. So I wish you luck and your mom luck. But generally, usually, hopefully, things will work out all right. Either way. And sometimes, you know, a biopsy can come back with a negative result. And
you want the B word.
And you can still live through it.
Hey, have a good time on your vacation. I vicariously live through you, through your vacations, because I never get it.
Take care, my friend.
Bye.
It's a fairly infrequent thing for me, too, although more frequent in the last year or two. You know, I work a fairly serious work week, 6 days, and there is a fair amount of stress involved in doing what I do. And so occasionally, you've got to kind of let go and unstress. I sort of live my work in the sense that don't let anybody fool you. While working at home is a wonderful thing to do, there is a downside to it, and the downside is that you're never away from work. And my telephone rings, well, you wouldn't want to know how frequently my phone rings, and between doing the show, preparing for the show, talking to all the various people that I talk to because of newspaper articles and interviews and you name it, the workload is pretty much all waking hours. And so to get away from that literally requires being out of touch. If I'm not out of, you know, if I can get to a telephone, besides I'm weak, I always answer phones, I always read faxes, I always read email. You get the picture. That goes on all waking hours. So occasionally you've got to break away and just plain absolutely get out of touch. Otherwise, it is not a vacation. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Art, I'm back. I finally got a good sell.
Yes, go ahead.
Tried to call earlier. Semper Fi to your mom once again.
Yes.
I just wanted to call and let you know I went through or started to go through that one ritual that these other recruits have gone through.
Yes.
Art, problem was, at that time I was a third-degree black belt in karate. My natural instinct was to fight back, and I did. By the time I got three of them on the ground, the other four guys that were in there with me were helping me fight back. I almost got in trouble for it until the other guys decided to speak up.
Well, I'm glad it worked out well for you.
It wasn't that ritual was never meant to be that way for the Marine Corps. It was meant to be a ritual where they come in, you know, put the pin on you, touch you, salute you, congratulations. But it turned out to be a really bad situation for the Marine Corps, and I hope this Secretary of Defense gets things taken care of.
I do too, sir, and thank you very much for the call. Glad you made it back through. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, howdy, how you doing?
I'm doing.
Hey, sir, pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
You ought to send a lollipop or something like that for anybody that reaches your line. It's really a short. But I'm in Whittier.
Yes, sir.
KADC.
Of course.
And I worked San Pedro, Wilmington area for 13 years, building inspector out there in the city of Los Angeles.
Yes, sir.
And we're in that more or less a fight pattern from the plane that come in from the east, and I was just wondering if somebody that doesn't have a real very embarrassed about losing that car off of one of these airplanes in that area. That's more or less where the airplanes go in and out of.
Yeah, but I can't imagine why a car would be a plane.
Shipping it? Yeah.
Well, they're not supposed to fall out of airplanes.
No, they're not supposed to.
Very bad for them. Very bad.
Well, that's a real interesting area at Wilmington, San Pedro, the harbor there. It's a beautiful area. It's a very interesting area.
Well, we're going to find out more about this.
Hey, where are you going in Mexico? Where to?
I'd rather not say.
I mean,
undisclosed locations.
Yeah, that's good. Enjoy it.
All right, thank you.
Que te vaya bien.
Take
care. Tiempo.
Take care. I don't know what you said. I don't speak Spanish, but I appreciate the sentiment, I think. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. Good morning.
Good morning.
I wonder if someone around the Portland area would call in with an answer for me. I understand they're paying bounty for squawfish, and here in western Colorado, we just spent $1 million last summer to build a fish ladder for squawfish.
I understand what you're saying, a fish ladder to save them, and they're paying bounty for it in Portland?
Yes.
Why would they pay bounty for a fish?
That's what I'm anxious to know. And I think, you know, we're shelling out money on both ends here. The federal government, the environmentalists are. So I wonder if somebody in that area has an answer to that.
Well, we'll ask.
Thank you so much. Have a nice vacation.
Thank you. We will ask. I have no idea. Think of all the money you could make, though. Trap them at the top of the ladder, send them to Portland, and sell them. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. It's Don in Birmingham, Alabama. I want to wish you a good vacation.
Thank
you.
Hello
to your mother. And did you ever find out the name of that song that you close out with?
No. Isn't that horrible? I did not. I'm sorry. I think it's from Apurimac 1.
Who?
Apurimac One is the name of the album by Cusco.
Apurimac One?
Apurimac, yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
By Cusco.
Well, I'm a former Marine, and I know the bloodline you come from, and I think it's expressing itself quite well in your radio career.
Well, thank you.
With a psych background, I'm sure you're going to stay on top of it.
Well, I'll certainly see what I can do.
And I've been through Pahrump on my way to Death Valley to run a 100-mile marathon back in 88, and back then it was like less than 5,000 people. I know it's up to around 28,000.
23,000, according to the newspaper last week.
Well, that's
quite a bit of growth.
Yeah.
We have
still pretty rural, though, huh?
Yes, and it will be for some time. I mean, this valley is about twice the size of the Las Vegas Valley, where there are a million people.
Yeah, you said well water, though, huh?
Yes.
I thought they have, don't they have a water supply in that town?
Yes, under the ground, sir. We have one of the largest underground aquifers in the whole U.S. You dig down about 30 feet and hit water.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
It is good. It's delicious. You could bottle it and sell it. West of the Rockies, you're on the air, huh?
Art Bell, the Italian Stallion, with the answer of that woman for the squawfish.
Oh, yeah. What's going on?
A few years ago, what was going on was the squawfish was eating all the salmon and steelhead eggs.
Oh.
And we have plenty of salmon up here in steelhead, which is plentiful, and they were eating and destroying all the habitats. So they were actually a predator fish, and that's why they were given at least, I think a couple summer ago, they were given about $5 for a fish, for a squawfish.
Boy, what a racket. You
yeah,
can go out there to where they've got the fish ladder to save the squawfish.
Yeah, a lot of fishermen were making $3,000 or $4,000 in 2 or 3 months.
No kidding.
Yeah, so those were really good fishermen, but that's all I wanted to say, and have a good vacation.
Thank you. Short though it's going to be, I'm hoping it will be a good one indeed. You know, seems like instead of killing them, since they're rare and apparently wanted in Colorado, why not catch them in Portland and send them to Colorado? You know, that wouldn't work because people catch them in Portland and turn them in for money, I guess. So, east of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning.
I wanted to ask a question. In 1959 and 60, I was restricted to the island of Guam by the Navy. I drove a crash truck there.
Mm-hmm.
In mid-afternoon one day, I was sitting on the flight line, and I had a CB in the truck. And I caught a radio station, probably the strongest at that time, from Del Rio, Texas. I don't recall the call letters. They always come on at nighttime when I was in the States. And it came over just as clear as an Art Bell, you know, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Really?
Yeah, on Guam, and that's a long way. My question was, what direction does radio signals travel, with the air or from east to west?
Well, that's a very difficult question to answer, but listen on the air. Radio signals propagate at night by the ionosphere. In other words, they bounce off the ionosphere. But how you would possibly receive something at 2 o'clock in the afternoon down on the standard broadcast band is totally beyond me, particularly out to Guam. That doesn't make sense. Now, there are strange conditions, but that one, it really is strange. So I can't tell you how that propagation could have occurred. I have no idea. With regard to directionality, that varies. Some stations are directional with varying schemes. Other stations are non-directional and broadcast equally in all directions. It just depends. But 2 o'clock in the afternoon from Del Rio to Guam, even with all that salt water for the assistance of propagation, I don't think so. But anything could be. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Good morning, Mr. Bell.
Hi.
This is Robert from the San Joaquin Valley, California.
Yes, sir.
I have a few quick things to mention to you. But first, I want to say I'm sending you a letter. Notice the stamp on it. On the reverse side, there's a sparkly kitten. But inside it was an article about the space cat with a picture of it.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir.
I will definitely look for that.
I'll have that in the mail tomorrow.
Okay.
And I wanted to suggest that when you go to Mexico, if you take a pair of binoculars with all of the sightings down there, you may find something interesting to look at.
Oh, I'm way ahead of you.
Oh, okay. You're not taking your telescope, are you?
No.
Oh, okay.
That would be a bit of a burden, but binoculars, yes.
Well, one of the things I wanted to mention quickly is that when you say goodnight...
Yes.
You have a lot of interesting listeners, and I've been told from good authority that you have many listeners from the Federation of the Galactic Federation. And if you were to say something in recognition of them...
Well, I do. I mean, I say goodnight, Cosmos.
Oh, you do?
I've got to cover the Galactic Federation.
You may have many interesting listeners that someday they may give you a gesture of appreciation of your show. And the last thing I want to touch on is truth or trash. You may find my story someday interesting if I get on the program to tell it, because I'm the gold miner from Area 51.
That's intriguing. All right, well, I'll look forward to that.
I hope some evening I can get through, and I wish you a very pleasant trip, sir. I look forward to your return and hearing about it.
Thank you, and take care. A wild card line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, Art, Kevin Temecula. How are you?
I'm fine.
Hey, with the major, now, is he going to let us know if he finds Taylor?
Obviously.
He said 10 days. When was that program?
About 3 or 4 days ago.
Okay, so you'll be back in time to let us know.
Well, of course.
Okay, all right, I'm just checking. Don't get upset.
I'm not upset. I'm in the best mood I could possibly be.
I bet you are. Hey, has he ever remote viewed Bigfoot?
I've never asked.
Okay, you got to ask him that.
I do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Please.
All right.
Okay, Art.
Thanks.
Have a good time.
Thank you. See you later. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello?
Hello.
Is this Art Bell?
I'm the only one here.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going.
This is JT from KABC.
Yes, sir. JT KABC.
Yeah, I was appreciating your interview with Major Danes on Thursday.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, I had to... Only got a couple hours sleep. I had to stay in line for Star Wars the next day. By the way, did you get a chance to see that?
Well, of course I've seen Star Wars many times. If you're talking about the new improved version?
Yeah.
No, not yet.
Oh, not yet, huh? It's pretty good.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is there a lot of change?
Yeah, there is some changes. They changed some scenes in the beginning, and they entered a few scenes as far as Jabba the Hutt's concerned. But anyway, I don't want to ruin it for you.
All right.
Anyway, just want to appreciate that. I was wondering if I have an idea if Richard Hoagland would possibly incorporate some of Danes' stuff when he goes to check out the pyramids.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Who knows? I mean, it's a thought.
Right.
Maybe I will when I go to check out the pyramids, October 1. I can't wait. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, good morning, Art.
Good morning.
Yes, Rick from Glendale, California.
Glendale, and again, KABC country. Yes, sir.
Yes, just wanted to wish you a wonderful trip there. I realize we're just about to end the program.
Yes, as a matter of fact, you're going to end it.
Yes, right now.
So, from the Southland...
And from Glendale, California, to Canada, and to the cosmos, and all around the world, good night.
Well, good night, and to the Galactic Federation specifically, all of you guys and gals, not sure if that's proper, good night. Anyway, to all of you everywhere, good night. See you in a few days. Off to Mexico, back shortly, won't be a long one. Take care. Good night.